Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another exciting episode of Are You Not Entertained? Ladies and gentlemen, this is episode 100. That's right, episode 100. We made 100 of these, and maybe only 5 people listened to them, but we made 100 of these, and we're excited today. Today is February 28th, 2018. I am here with, of course, Kent, but this week we are honored to have that wrestling guru, Steve, along for the ride. Guys, how we doing? The silence is deafening. Kent, how you doing?
That says it all.
I enjoyed that more than anything else I will for the rest of
the You know, I was thinking, maybe I should shoot it to one of them directly. But I was like, yeah. No, they can handle it.
That's what a host does, usually.
I thought maybe you could handle this one going, okay. But
well,
no.
If it was me, you, and Carrie, then, you know, you always jumped in first, and I just waited for you to shut the fuck up. But me and Steve were just, you go first. No, you go first.
All right. Steve, how you doing?
I'm doing fine.
All right. Good to hear. Yeah. All right. So, lots happened this week.
How I'm doing?
Fine, Kent. How are you doing?
You're really a good host.
I mean, Kent, how are you doing?
Good, great, grand, wonderful.
Excellent. Are you excited that you've done 100 of these things?
No, I'm fucking miserable that for the past year and a half, I've worked towards this. And here we are. Here we are. And, God, this feels anticlimactic as fuck, doesn't it?
I don't know. There's a lot going on.
Or confetti or anything. I mean, party hats or something.
Party hats. No, I have a mug of wine. I had pizza.
Well, there you go. That's something good. Okay.
Pizza, wine.
All right. So, for those of you who don't know who we are a wrestling podcast. We talk about the happenings of wrestling. And in this week, we had a lot of things going on. We had the Elimination Chamber match, of course, Raw and SmackDown, and, of course, 205 at NXT. But since we never watch those things, we rarely talk about them. So, this week is special. It is number 100 for us, so we got a lot of things going on. We're going to have a top 5 list for you folks in just a little bit. But before we get to that, Kent, please tell me your moment of bliss.
Okay. We've done 100 of these. That has nothing to do with my moment of bliss. So, my moment of bliss, there's a couple of them this week, actually. Obviously, Alexa Bliss is on our screens a lot more lately. And for that alone, I'm very thankful. I know we'll talk about her at the Elimination Chamber and Raw, but I'm just happy because it seems like the past 2 to 3 months, she has been on TV about as much as Carmella. Not a good thing. So, happy to see her little ass back on TV. And I also had pizza, but something cool came in the mail for me today. I ordered the PlayStation VR bundle with Skyrim, and I had a hell of a deal. It was $350, but I got $35 cash back, $100 gift card from Dell, and $41 in rewards at Dell, so basically $141 at Dell. Basically, I got like half of it back. And I also ordered Resident Evil 7. So I'm very excited to try all this out. Fortunately for me, I was so tired after 2 hours of sleep that I haven't done a goddamn thing with it. I'm doing this podcast instead of, you know, having fun. I mean, yay, 100, yay!
Yay, super fun!
So I can't wait to try that out. Probably get, like, a headache, you know, 3 minutes in and be like, well, this was a waste of money. But I'm excited to try it out. It seems pretty goddamn neat. So, with that being said, that was my moment of bliss.
All right. I'm glad we had that moment of bliss, Kent. Congratulations on 100.
Thanks.
And 100 more moments of bliss.
You know, it's funny because I asked a bunch of people, I'm like, hey, you want to say anything nice for the 100th podcast? And here we are.
So basically you said, hey, you want to say something nice about the 100th podcast? And they're like, you do a podcast?
It was kind of like the silence that you had when you're like, hey, guys, how you doing? That's the reaction I got.
Oh, man. Off to the races, gentlemen. All right. Well, as we were saying, the Elimination Chamber match, or Elimination Chamber pay-per-view, occurred this past Sunday. So why don't we take and break that down, and we'll kind of talk about Raw with this as well. We might as well, since it's all basically... Raw was basically fallout from Elimination Chamber match. So let's go right into this, and let's do a review of the Elimination Chamber and kind of talk some Raw. So let's start with the kickoff match. Okay, the kickoff match was the Good Brothers, Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson, versus the Miztourage. Steve, did you watch it?
Yes.
What'd you think?
I don't remember any of it. So it's a decent kickoff show card, I guess. I honestly don't know anything happened in it other than I think the Miztourage lost.
They did, yes.
Well, I got that much right.
Yep. All right. Kent, did you watch
best kickoff match in a long... You know, if you really think about the annals of kickoff shows... Is WLC still the greatest kickoff show match that we've ever had? Aside from maybe like a WrestleMania or SummerSlam where they have like three kickoff matches so they have to put something decent on. But still, wasn't WLC probably the best kickoff match?
Because everyone else doesn't seem to put the effort in, so.
Yeah, they were like, oh, we're actually getting a match? We're going to try.
Yeah.
And it was fun. As for this match, like most thereabouts, did anybody there go, you know, I would bet on the Miztourage winning this match? No.
No.
So what was the, where's the incentive to give a fuck?
I said that in the review, but if mediocre, lazy kickoff show match had a face, this match was that perfect face. It was so down the middle, boring, bullcrap wrestling that it was terrible. Or it wasn't terrible. It just wasn't fun. It was just there. So
and why wasn't the Revival?
They don't seem to care about the Revival anymore, which kind of sucks. So, okay, I got to pause this for 1 second. Kent, is that all wine?
This mug?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Good for you. Good for you. I wasn't sure if, because you showed us the bottle, so I wasn't sure if you poured it into a mug or just drink it out straight out of the bottle.
No, I poured it in the mug. I want to be a little sophisticated.
Classy. That's right. It's the 100.
You got some class on the 100th episode.
I don't own a single wine glass, but I own a couple of A&W mugs.
That's classic. All right. That's classy. Keep it classy, Kat. All right. Nobody really cared about that match. All right. So let's move on to the Women's Elimination Chamber match. There was a lot of women involved. One of them was Alexa Bliss.
One of them was not Paige.
Definitely not Paige.
Another one was Alicia Fox that was not... You know, alright, so... As you guys may or may not know, like, during pay-per-views, I get tons of fucking texts from Twan, Eric, Carrie just... doesn't say anything unless I provoke her meaninglessly. You know, these fucking guys, they Twitter fucking text, you know, like three words, enter. So instead of just
Twan has big fingers, he can't do more than three words.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, no, bing, bing. It's like dealing with fucking teenage girls, quite frankly. So my phone's basically blowing up to use some stupid phrase, and it's pissing me off, so then I have to silence my fucking phone because these two girls can't fucking handle their shit properly. And I mentioned I felt bad for Alicia Fox, and Twan said something stupid. I don't remember what it was. But I was like, no, Alicia Fox, I feel bad for her because she, you know, she missed out on the Royal Rumble, and now she's missed out on this. I feel that had she been healthy, she would have been featured, obviously, in the Rumble, and I think she would have been featured in Elimination Chamber, quite frankly.
Well, she definitely would have been in the Rumble, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think she would have passed, but I mean, she was the fucking team captain for Survivor Series.
Right. It does suck.
I just feel bad for her. That's what I got.
Okay. So, the Elimination Chamber match happened. Did you have any thoughts specifically on the match, other than just Alicia Fox wasn't a part of it?
I thought it was the match of the night.
Yeah,
And that's come from the guy that thought that the Women's Royal Rumble was the worst main event in pay-per-view recent history. So, kudos to them for not bringing back Michelle McTaker and Lita to botch moonsaults and stuff. Like, oh, you actually have some active women that somewhat know what they're doing? That's nice. It's nice to see Sasha doing some dickish things. I think that's something that most fans want to see, is Sasha going back to what made her fucking great to begin with. And maybe Bayley can fucking develop a character again. Who knows? Or she's just going to look fucking sad and be like, I've never been kissed before. I don't fucking know.
Greatest gimmick ever.
I was even surprised. I thought it was actually going to come down to Bliss, Mandy, and Sonya. I really thought that was the story they were going to tell to like kind of surprise us, but they didn't. And that's cool. I'm still a little confused whether Mickey's a heel, a face, or a Nuso, because a Nuso is basically a tweener at this point, is my assumption. But overall, I thought the story was well told, and I got to see a lot of Bliss's sweet ass. I think that's a win for everybody.
Yeah. Steve?
Yeah, I was thinking how lucky those guys in that seat were behind her, because she was trapped in the cage, you know, for... She couldn't move for like
15
most of the
straight
match.
Minutes to just take pictures of her ass.
I mean, sure, the cage is in the way, but you can get around that.
Isn't it plexiglass right behind?
Oh, that's right. They fixed it this year. Yeah, it was plexiglass. Yeah. So that's
great. So that's great. Whoever's got those seats got the best seats in the house.
Could you imagine if they would have advertised it? Seats behind Alexa Bliss's sweet ass. $2,000.
That would probably be able to. They would still sell it. They'd get it.
I'm thinking after what was worth it.
It might be. I think if this was the main event, you'd think it was terrible. But since it was the opener, you're like, that was pretty good and better than I thought. I hate how this happened in the main men's ones too, where the two best friends are like teaming up on the one guy, and then all of a sudden they're like, you know what? Let's just fight and
the stupidest
eliminate the one person.
Yeah.
I mean, why not get the guy out and you two fight for the belt?
That's the problem with wrestling logic. I mean, I understand why they can't have that happen, but that's the stupidest logic I've ever heard of. Get rid of everyone else except you and your friend, and then go after each other. That's always been the rule. Or that would be the smart rule. Wrestling has never applied that rule. Has it ever?
Sure. Remember the year that Big Show and Kane dominated the Royal Rumble until it came down to them versus Roman Reigns?
And then they turned on each other when Roman Reigns.
Did they turn on each other?
I don't remember.
I think Roman Reigns just overcame the odds.
Oh, that might be it. That might be it.
And like, there's the year that Legacy lasted until like the final four or five in the Rumble.
I want to say Stadium Society too.
It just boggles my mind when you turn on your friend before the job is done.
Russ, exactly. I have no qualm saying I would completely turn on you mid-match if I thought I was going to.
I would wait till it was just you and me, and then I'd turn on you.
Oh, thank you. See, that's why I want Steve as my partner, okay?
Yep. Hey, let's never forget, we had a wrestling faction about 10 years ago in a fake wrestling
league. You certainly did.
Good times.
All right. So what I personally thought of the match, I really liked how they told a decent story out of all of this. And they told it well. I mean, they didn't screw it up. I thought for sure they were going to botch the hell out of this.
Isn't that why the match seemed so much better than it probably was? Because they didn't botch the story?
I think so. Story, like we've always said, story really helps a match. Yes, you can have a five... Okay, I don't want to say five star. You can have a...
Seven star? Six star?
A Kenny Omega versus Kushida 17 kickout.
12 stars.
You can have a really good match by itself and be fine with it. But you can have a decent match with a good story, and it elevates it to a really good match. And that is big time. Like, stories do bring major purposes to these fights. Especially for people like me, you, Maybe Steve. I don't know. Steve's kind of weird. But I thought the story was really well done. I love how they left Alexa to the end. I liked how Absolution took it to Bailey until Sasha came out and then kind of evened the odds. And that was really well done. Mickey, I thought, did a really good showing. I was really impressed with Mickey. I just thought it was odd that Mickey got taken out before Alexa, but I guess they weren't going to play that story. They just wanted to make them friends.
Didn't you want Mickey to attack people after the match, though? Like, they almost teased it, and then she just walked away.
And then she walked away.
So Rowan makes sense?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
When they're like, hey, we're best friends now. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because you did nothing on the pay-per-view. All
right.
Oh, then almost pull your knees out on that Fez press from the cage.
Oh, my God. That was so... I thought she was... Yeah, I was like, oh, she's going to get injured from that. But that was well done. I'll have to give her that. That
her
was well done.
Her husband would not have been happy if that happened.
Oh, no. That would have been painful, too, to watch. Oh. I mean, almost a Sid Vicious worthy pain.
I was going to say Sid would have been watching.
Oh,
been
God.
Like, oh.
No, Sid is like the worst ever you could see.
Yeah.
Sid is the poster child for this shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like Sid and like Joe Theismann are like the two worst injuries you'd see on TV.
Oh.
What was it? Was it Paul George with that gruesome injury like a year and a half ago, Steve?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
What was it, like his knee?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That was.
Some college kid, too. About a year ago.
Yeah. Ugh.
Well, I didn't want to divulge into that.
Just not cool. And then Stone Cold fakes it with his broken neck.
I know. My God. Fake wrestling.
And Owen Hart faking dying.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's still selling
when are they,
that.
When are they going to bring him back? Frankly, it's been a long time.
Him and Andy Kaufman coming back soon.
Good. Wrestling needs
them. Maybe Eva Marie can come back, too. You know, she's still living the gimmick.
All right, I do think it was the best match of the night, and the right person won. I was a little afraid they wouldn't let Alexa win this one.
Would you have been terribly upset had a heel Sasha won? I'll direct this to you, since Russ is thinking.
No. I think, well, the thing is, Bayley and Sasha don't need a title for WrestleMania, because they have the whole friendship thing, which I don't really get. I think the belt would actually elevate the feud if she had a belt as a heel.
Here's another question. Would WrestleMania weekend be better if on Friday night they just got rid of all... Like, if they just had an all-women's card and took all the women off the actual WrestleMania card? Would anybody really be opposed to just getting all the women's matches out of the way and only having a four-hour, including kickoff, a four-hour WrestleMania? Would anybody...
No, I want 8 hours of WrestleMania on Sunday.
Hell yeah, I love sitting there
I want
for
to go to bed
hours.
At 3 o'clock in the morning after the main event is done.
Yeah.
This isn't fucking New Japan, Steve.
I think
well,
it would be...
have 6 round matches.
I think they should do Friday women, Saturday 205, NXT, whatever, and then Sunday do the men...
Fuck it, start on Thursday and have UK, and let's just do everything, okay?
Well, yeah, but at least you get the hours are spread out, so we don't have to sit there for 8 hours and want to kill ourselves by the end of the main event.
Oh, I'm so suicide.
I would rather have 2 days of like 8 hour wrestling than like 4 days of 3 hour wrestling.
Would you? Oh,
I mean, I don't have much to do with those extra days, but I like to have some non wrestling stuff happen.
That's the reason I don't watch 205.
That is pretty terrible. Well, it's gotten better lately.
It has, I know, and I won't watch it because I need my wrestling off time. Because this technically counts. We're talking wrestling, so. All right, let's keep on moving, guys. All right.
Yeah, let's talk about the better matches.
Now we're going to talk about a slew of great matches here, guys. So let's get ready for it because this was amazing pay-per-view. All right, so the next match was the Tag Team Championship. It was The Bar versus Titus Worldwide. I'm going to go first on this one. I was sorely disappointed. I expect better from The Bar. This was mediocre at best. I really wanted to like it. It was not good. I am very disappointed how bad this was. Kent?
It's not their fault. That's all I can say. Because you saw what happened on Raw. mean, because we did a really good job tying Raw into the women's segment last
week. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we did a really good job. So we're going to pretend that Raw never happened with women.
This host is terrible.
Yeah, yeah. Harry, we miss you so much.
We do miss you so much.
So sad. Terrible day. I mean, really, like, creative's like, you know what? We could push Apollo. Or, and somebody, like, in the room, like, there's 50 guys in the room. One guy's like, or, hear me out here. We can make it seem like we're going to push them, give them matches, and bury them worse than not having them on TV. And people, like, started the slow clap, and they thought it was all brilliant. And Vince was like, God damn it, let's do it. And then we had the best 2 out of 3 falls match on Raw. What I will say for this match, because I throughout the night, I compare each match to an item of food. And I would say the women's match was this nice top half of like a bun. A nice like sub sandwich roll, maybe. And this match was an okay condiment. Bland, maybe just mustard, spicy mustard. That's what I would compare this match to, because as you'll see later on where this is going, but Russ knows where this is going.
Yeah, I know exactly where this is going, yes.
Well, we're going to call this the spicy mustard of the night for me. Steve?
The
match.
I forgot where you were.
Steve's just like, ah, spicy.
Yeah, we may have a bad host, but we have a lot of bad co-hosts, too, so...
I wonder if Vince is still pissed at Titus for grabbing his arm and pulling him backwards.
He's got to be. He's got to be.
I would be too. You don't grab a boss like that and pull him back like that.
Even for his daughter?
No. Not on TV. You don't mess with a boss like that. Especially Vince. He's like he's at his job still.
Hey, February comes along once a year, Steve. They need Titus to do these, you know, MLK days and Black History Month segments.
And to take underprivileged kids to Black Panther movies.
Right.
Because no one else can do it.
Fact.
You know, what happened to Mark Henry? That's why they didn't try him out for Black History.
Oh, they used him. They're using him.
They used him when they went to the museum, and Alexa Bliss is like, I learned so much today about Black History. Yay.
Yay.
Oh, yeah.
Shut up,
that's
Alexa.
Right.
You whore.
I wish they had more tag teams. Other than
Ginger
the bar
Rhinos
and
happen, Steve. They exist.
They exist. Trash, not doing much, but
yeah.
I think they're waiting until after WrestleMania to bring the AOP up from NXT. Until it's one giant holding pattern.
Do they need another heel team that they're not going to push because they already have Gallows and Anderson,
the Revival,
and the Bar.
Gallows and Anderson suck dick.
Oh, wow.
Oh, no, Steve, they were members of the Bullet Club, goddammit. They're elite.
Carrie would be angry with you. I like Gallows. I actually like them.
They were douchebag Americans in Japan. Douchebag Americans in America are just Americans.
You know what's funny? I believe this was pointed out in one of the blogs. They're just copying the whole NWO thing with Omega and Cody, where it's like Wolfpack versus Black and White. They're following the exact same story arc as the NWO, and people are like applauding it like it's the most original fucking thing
ever.
Because
nostalgia is like the most powerful drug you can have.
This seems so familiar. Kent, first of all, if it was NWO, the same thing, their names would be NWO, not Bullet Club, okay?
Yeah, that would just be too sweet.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. I just can't wait for Cody or Omega to have a sex tape leaked where he drops N-words and gets fired for being a racist.
Will Paige be involved?
Well, obviously.
Probably, yeah.
Let's talk about Raw and the 2 out of 3's falls match. I'll say this. I had no idea what the hell was going on. I just looked up. I said, okay, so they're having a match. Let's see what they do. I look up. All of a sudden, Sheamus celebrated like he'd won, the world championship. I'm like, the hell happened? The match was over so quickly, and then I found out it was a 2 out of 3's falls match, and I was like, oh. And then they promptly buried Titus Worldwide, promptly.
Yeah, I just started talking to a stripper because I thought I had time.
Was it an actual female?
It was not a Filipino transvestite. Yep, believe it or not. And
I don't believe you.
Translating into Spanish, and all of a sudden I hear fucking Sheamus celebrate. I'm like, I told the bitch to hold the fuck up. She's like, what? I'm like, just settle down here. I was very confused. So I had to rewind Raw to see what I'd missed and kept her on a fucking tight leash.
I pretty much learned that never to rewind Raw because it's not worth it. So you let it go.
Can we mention for a brief moment that the third season of, what is it called, Beastmaster?
Ultimate Beastmaster.
Beastmaster is going to be hosted by CM Punk and Wade Barrett. I thought Raylene was going to need like diapers from getting so fucking drenched from that news.
The thing is, though, Wade Barrett's going to be the British host, and so you'll probably never hear from him.
That sounds accurate. But I'd much rather have Barrett than deliver people some bad news.
He has to, right?
Well, you'd hope, but you know, burials are burials.
So we're gonna have CM Punk, basically.
So mid-season, John Cena's gonna be like, "Wait, I want your job." That's what's gonna happen.
So the Raw tag team division is basically garbage now.
It's not garbage. It's just booked beyond. It's good. Ginger Rhinos is a good team.
They have some talent.
Technically, could be a good team. Gallows and Anderson. I like Anderson.
I like both of them.
I think Gallows.
If Anderson brings his hot Asian wife as a manager, then I'll like them.
Yes, please. More hot Asian wives in wrestling, please. And the Revival is the best tag team going today, but you wouldn't know it by watching Raw.
Nope.
So they have all the talent in the world, plus the Hardy Boys,
which we'll get to later.
Unfortunately. Speaking of which, let's move on.
All right, let's move on to our next match: Asuka versus Nia. Kent, tell us how that sandwich is coming along.
I hate tomatoes. This was the tomatoes of this sandwich. I said in the preview that this was going to be a match that was going to disappoint, and by God, did it fucking disappoint the shit out of me. You know, like, there was still, like, a glimmer of hope. I'm like, oh, maybe they'll put their shit together, because Asuka's good. Nia's been better. And this was worse than their NXT match from, like, 2 fucking years ago when Nia couldn't wrestle worth a shit. At least they told a story in that match. This was just a shit show. Not cool. Not happy. Did not enjoy. Moving on.
All right. Steve.
I don't like how, like, Asuka's supposed to be this dominant force, but then she has to, like, go, what, for, like, 20 minutes to beat Nia Jax.
Well, at least...
Like, she just kicked her head, like, 5 times and pin her. That should be it.
Steve, she's not like most girls.
Yeah. She goes, like, 7 or 8 kicks.
I like the ending where they put her through the barricade, but other than that...
That was the only thing that was...
How many times a year are they going to do that barricade spot, though? Because each year, I think they try to, like, be like... Well, we did 7 last year. Let's do, like, 9 this year.
I think they sneak it into every other pay-per-view.
Spots.
That's what I think they do. They try to sneak it into every other pay-per-view.
Well, it's the only move you can do on the video games, right?
Yeah.
Nowadays?
Probably.
So.
The match was very disappointing. I also agree with that. I was expecting more because Nia has improved so much and Asuka's great. And it was so... Were they maybe rushed, do you think? I mean, it was only given 10 minutes, if that.
No, they were not a shitty Canadian band.
Damn. Well, I was hoping they were rushed. The only thing I took out of the whole thing was Nia putting...
How could it have been rushed? Did they have like 15 minutes at the end of the pay-per-view? Where they didn't use it? They didn't run over, did they?
I don't know. I got behind, so I was at past 11 by the time I was done.
I don't know either. I watched it later, so...
Yeah, me too. So,
okay. So I guess none of us are going to know.
Because believe it or not, during this match, I was watching something else. But we'll talk about that later.
A transvestite from Philippines. Yeah. Oh. So, yeah, the match was just disappointing. It felt rushed. There were sparks. I will say this. There were sparks of interest. Like, they started doing something really good, and then it went to crap. So that was about the only thing I could say was positive out of the match. But the ending really was awesome. I loved how Nia took and put Asuka through. I thought it made Nia look strong. I just wished that the match made her look strong too.
I feel that had they just had Bliss come out and cost Nia the match, it would have told a better story.
Told the better story, absolutely. Absolutely. Now,
but what will they do on Raw if that happened?
That's right.
I Steve, are you trying to make us talk about Raw?
He is. He did a great segue, like, and you just totally messed it up. I liked how
he messed his job for
he
him.
He did it so well. I was just about to do it, but you did it for me right before I could, so I appreciate that. The smoothness on that. So I was like, that was great. He segued into it. And now Kent ruined it.
Yep. That's
So let's talk about Raw real quick. Asuka, so Bliss came out, gave a great I don't want to say interview. What the hell did she do? Promo.
I liked her promo after the chamber match also.
That was
good. Fabulous. Yeah.
That was fabulous. At first I was like, oh, they're turning her face. No. And then she just turned it around. None of your dreams are coming true. I was like, yes. I actually cheered. I was like, yes. But
so true. I know from experience.
But here's the worst part. She was being cheered the entire time. Then she turned on the fans, and they cheered even louder.
Because they know she speaks truth.
That's true. That's true.
Not only that, but I think wrestling fans have gotten to a point where they're like, just give us somebody to hate. Like, isn't that why Elias gets cheered? Is because they know that he's going to rip the shit out of that town, and they know it's coming, but they're still going to cheer him. So I think that fans have gotten to a point where they're so sick of the shitty heels that we've been fed for however fucking long, that it's nice just to have a nice heel.
Well, a lot of the heels are the ones that have common sense and just, like, you know, they just kind of, like, why are they screwing me over all the time? It's just, I mean, they're just, like, they're the ones that make sense and the logic and everything.
Yeah. So, Alexa gave another good promo on Raw, too, I thought. And I like that Asuka came out. But I really love that Nia came out. I'm very curious. Do you think they're going to have a three-way dance?
Did Asuka ever officially announce what she's doing?
She was supposed to, but then they changed it, I guess. So, no, she's not officially announced.
No, that's why
she could still go to SmackDown.
Yeah. That's why they're doing the whole, well, Alexa keeps saying that Nia deserves to have a championship match at WrestleMania. That's why they're doing that storyline.
Right, so Asuka chooses Charlotte, and then Nia goes, well, you said I should deserve a match. Right.
And then Mickie James screws Nia out of the match because she's best friends with Alexa now.
Which I'm fine with. Anything that gives me more Mickie over the next year or two while she still is relatively good in ring, I'm happy with. More Mickie. Mickie's still better than most of the fucking women's roster, in my opinion.
What are they going to do with Absolution?
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
They turned to nothing. As soon as Paige was out...
Is there a female on the Giant Battle Royal?
Well, let's face it.
Bull Nakano Battle Royal, maybe?
There's... Our Absolution's still going to be more relevant than a certain squad.
Squad that riots?
Yeah, that's going good.
Yeah, good stuff. We'll talk about it later. All right. Almost choked. Our next match.
That would have been entertaining.
It would have been. Our next match...
That would really make the 100th episode right there.
...was Bray versus Matt Hardy, or...
Hey, Russ, the woken one. We did the hot dog eating contest on the show, and I started choking to death mid...
Yeah, it was fantastic.
See, that made that whole episode great. So, had you choked, you could have made... You could have made... Are you,
I could have made the entire night. 100 would have been special.
They can't podcast great again.
It had to be great in the first place to be again, so. all right, so we had Bray versus the Woken One, Matt Hardy. This match was awful. Holy crap. Did they destroy... They literally destroyed this entire thing for me. And I'm to blame. I 100% take blame for this. I wanted to see this. And boy, did they fuck this up. Big time. I do not care about these two fighting at all. It's awful. They need to do something quick because it's terrible. Steve, what did you think?
I think it's telling that the fans only react to Matt Hardy when he's doing the delete shit. Otherwise, they're chanting for beach balls and I don't know what else we were doing that night. But yeah, no one likes him. So give him off TV.
Oh, Ken, What was this on your sandwich delight?
I don't like onions either on a sandwich. Onions are okay some other dishes, but not on a sandwich. So this is definitely onions. It kind of made me cry a little bit, and I really want to denounce this as being obsolete. I want to go back a few months and be like, I want to tell myself from 3 or 4 months ago, hey, make fun of Russell for saying that he wants this whole broken gimmick. And then 4 months ago, Kent would be like, nah, I'm already doing that. And I'd be like, oh yeah, I remember that. You were making fun of Russ back then for wanting this shit. And you were saying how dumb it was going to be. And Russ kept telling you, no, this is fun. It's funny when they keep laughing at each other.
Yeah. I don't think I went that far, but...
Well, I mean, I have audio to prove otherwise.
Do you?
Yeah.
Can you find your audio?
Do I feel like going through the annals of time? Hell no.
Hell no.
Just know right. that it happened, and you should feel ashamed for it.
I fully do feel ashamed for, like, this. Go ahead.
This is like, the walk of shame of, like, getting drunk, nailing some ugly chick you met at a bar. That's what this whole storyline is right now. You're doing the walk of shame every time you have to watch this shit.
It's terrible. The worst part is, I don't remember anything in the match. I just remember Matt Hardy won. That's it. I don't remember anything.
Here's the best part of the whole thing. The night after, Bray beat the shit out of Ginger Rhinos by himself, but he's still a lowly guy that couldn't even make it to the Elimination Chamber. He could take out former tag team champions, but he's not good enough to win his entry match to the Chamber or the second chance match. But he could take on Ginger Rhinos.
One year ago, he won the belt in the Chamber.
A year ago, yeah. So my question is I'm just confused. What are they doing with poor Bray? I don't care about Matt. But is Bray in the most dire need to go back to SmackDown? Like, I think he's the one superstar that needs a trade more than just about anybody else.
Yeah. My problem with Bray is this. He loses every pay-per-view match. Almost every pay-per-view match. I mean, on the next night, like on Raw this week, he becomes this dominant force.
He looked great on Raw.
Yeah, so it makes no sense to me. Like, I'm done. I'm basically done with Bray. They do this all the time. They build him up during, like, a Raw, or the Raw after a pay-per-view. But during the pay-per-view, he turns into a shit goblin, and... he's shit. So, I just stopped with Bray. Like, this is such a rinse and repeat with Bray. It happens all the time. All the fucking time. And they're not done with this, because apparently now he's... Matt Hardy made him go crazy. Oh boy, here we go. Come on. Broken Compound.
That's what we're getting at Mania. We are getting the Broken Compound match. Like, people were like, no, the Hardy's going to come back for a tag match. I think they're going to hold off Jeff until the night after Mania. That would make the most... Finish this great feud off, because you kind of need to finish it off, or else Bray's going to have back-to-back feuds that never ended properly.
That could be Bray's new gimmick.
It could be.
I think Mumps was a fitting end to that feud.
We still need Sister Abigail to win.
No. Women's Sister feud. Abigail, damn it. I want my... There's a part of it that kind of goes, what if Sister Abigail makes an appearance now? Would it be ruined?
Nope.
It's definitely possible.
If Sister Abigail ends Asuka's undefeated streak, we all win.
We do all win. You're right. That would be fantastic if he used her as a second, like, wrestler.
I need fans in other states, every Raw... bring a sign that says Sister Abigail or we riot. Like, I just want to start seeing this as a trend.
That's the one big regret from 2017 wrestling. No Sister Abigail.
Yeah, out of all big regrets. And there was a lot. Like, not ever getting a good Kevin Owens AJ Styles match. But this, not getting Sister Abigail, that was the one thing I think I was like, no, I could genuinely get excited. Oh... he's dying.
All right. Let's move on to the next big thing Oh, God. Ronda Rousey's signing of her contract for Raw. Steve, let you put a positive spin on this bad boy.
I think Rousey's promo made Asuka seem like a first, like a English was her first language. Because Rousey was terrible, and I'm like, I don't get Kurt Angle either. Like, he just all started to spout off these things he heard.
No, he had double pneumonia. God damn it, Steve.
Why did Triple H keep his microphone on Kurt Angle? Instead of being, hey, you're done here, give me the mic. You know, just walk away with the mic and do whatever you want.
Yeah.
And Rousey was better on Raw, I'll say that, for his promo.
The only little bit of credit I'll give this thing was towards the end, Ronda kind of was a little bit more comfortable being the badass. She looked more the part once she turned, you know, more badass. And you're right, on Raw, I thought she did a lot better. But
I'm also glad they got her a jacket that fits.
Yes. But holy crap.
No point in the WrestleMania sign, though. That was kind of weird.
Yeah, once she signed it, she should have pointed to it. She's so good at that at the Rumble. Excellent job.
Another thing that sucks, though, she's like, I don't want any special treatment, but maybe WrestleMania.
I don't want any special treatment, but give me a match at WrestleMania. So, God. That was garbage. Yeah, flat out garbage. Triple H had to roll himself back onto the table because she threw him too far. And the slap, well, I thought the slap was great. I'm not going to lie. I thought the slap was great. Ken, what was your feelings? And what's part of the sandwich was this?
Well, I mean, we're getting so late into the sandwich. I mean, obviously, this has to be the main substance of the sandwich. And, you know, I like most people that watch, I felt like I was choking down a shit sandwich. They shit right all over the sandwich that we were trying to consume. It was a big piece of shit. And
so you're saying someone may have saw it in the locker room with Orton around in the bag?
Randy Orton may or may not have been involved in the booking of this whole segment. To the point where, my God, how the hell long did Triple H have to sell one belly-to-belly suplex? Even on ESPN, they were making fun of how long he was selling it. Because he's a man, a 10, 11, 13-time world champion, and he had to stay on the mat for 5 minutes for one move from a little tiny girl.
But a table.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's Ronda Rousey.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I want however many minutes of that segment, I want that added on to my life. God, you owe me that much. Give me those minutes back to my life because you stole it. Not cool.
Yeah, I am not a fan of Ronda yet. I don't know if they're going to be able to turn me.
Nope.
So
no chance.
I'm going to say no.
Ronda would have been cooler had she been the muscle behind the Authority. If they were doing like an Authority stable, Ronda's the muscle as a badass chick would have been cool.
Face like China's Rousey position, doesn't talk at all, just
backs. The less she talks, the better.
Abilities, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can we also point out that Stephanie also got offense and never took a hit again because
WrestleMania is coming up.
WrestleMania is coming up.
Yeah, if she goes through the whole match and never gets touched, that will be fantastic.
She's got it.
I thought it was
right?
Pretty funny when Stephanie like went up and got around his face. I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry.
That was the best to say. The one good part. There were two good parts about this from Raw. Raw had some great parts. Okay?
All right. I'm curious what your two good parts are, because if you don't mention one of them, you're a fucking retard.
Okay, the two good parts. One, Steve mentioned, and the double pneumonia. I'm going to put that all as one part. The Kurt saying, I need my job. I had double pneumonia. All those things. Hilarious. And then Stephanie looking like she's going to give that, who do you think you are? And then turns it to, I am so sorry. Please forgive me. But that was great. The other great part was
right,
Kurt.
You named four fucking parts. And you said there's only two good parts.
No,
well, I kind of all
those
one
first five were just
thing.
One.
Yeah, that was one. So here's the second part. Was Kurt getting clocked by Triple H?
Right. Yes, and that was the best part of the whole yeah. thing. That was a punch out of nowhere. Yeah. Once again, Orton is booking this stuff, I'm telling you, because it came out of nowhere.
But it made no sense either. Why would you do that? You just got out of the whole thing, and you turn around and punch Kurt. That makes no sense. But God,
hey,
Kurt's
guys,
face. Kurt's face before he gets hit was fucking hilarious. It looks like he's like, I think I made some wrong choices in life, and then pop.
Kurt and Stephanie are saving this awfulness with equal awfulness, but in a funny way.
Yeah, and at least it's funny, right.
Like, it kind of saves it a little bit.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if we never end a Raw again with Ronda Rousey, I'm okay with that.
Mm. I'm fine
not
with it,
not just ending Raw, they went over 11 o'clock to end it. Didn't they? They ran late. They did the Ronda Rousey
match with Enzo and Ronda. That'd be a good team.
That'll never happen again, but. Oh, man, you know what really sucks? We'll never see the Big Cass Enzo feud finish now.
Is Big Cass going to be one of those big names that returns night after Mania?
He's got to be soon, right?
I think it was like...
What's he going to do, though? Like, his whole thing was Enzo and being against Enzo.
Steve, he's 7 foot tall, and you can't teach that? That's a gimmick? Okay.
It is, yeah. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. He's got this.
Yep.
Do you think he's going to steal Enzo's catchphrase and stuff? Think they're going
to
use that?
Repackage him, or can they just make him the 7 foot tall Enzo? I think just make him the 7 foot tall Enzo, have him dancing around like a retard, and then have him get into a love affair with Naya.
So give him piles of coke and let him go out there and do whatever he wants.
Right. That sounds right.
Wear a gold chain, wear some Zubas. It'll be fine. Get his own stable, which he kicks half the people out, and then like the next week they're like, nah, we're cool. We're still in stable.
Man, I miss Enzo already.
Fantastic.
He did wonders for Drew Gulak's career.
He did,
and as soon as he's gone, I haven't heard a goddamn thing from Drew.
Nope.
Sucks.
All right, let's move to the final match of the Elimination Chamber match, and it is the Elimination Chamber men's match for the number one contendership.
I have a question.
You have a question for me, sir? Ask away.
Well, it's just a general fucking question.
Oh, well, still ask away.
Fuck. Hey, Russ. Who's your man crush of the week?
Well, Kent, I'm glad you asked. I don't know why you're asking now, but...
Because I forgot that nothing was changed at all. Ever. And this just seemed like a really good time.
It is a good time, right? Right before...
segment to do this right now. Number 100.
Number 100, everyone. Woo! Oh, man. Well, my man crush of the week, you think, you know... There's a lot going on right now. We're talking about the Elimination Chamber match, which is a Raw pay-per-view. So
you have seven great guys to choose from here.
I do. You're right. My choice is Tyler Breeze.
Choose, like, five of them already?
Yes, I did already choose five of them already, so I can't choose them.
2 months in, all the main guys gone.
My choice is Tyler Breeze.
And this makes sense.
It certainly does. We'll talk about Tyler Breeze later, perhaps. Maybe not. I doubt it. Not much went on. All I'm going to say is this. It was nice to see him on my television screen. They haven't been on SmackDown in so long. And I forgot, Tyler Breeze, he looks really good with that long hair flowing. So it was nice to see Tyler Breeze on my SmackDown television. And that was my man crush of the week.
I just want to say, Puffy killed Big E. I don't know why this has never been talked about, but that's the fact. Sean Puffy Combs killed Notorious B.I.G. Everything is there. It's in plain sight. Nobody, not a single human being alive, benefited on such a grander scale from Biggie's death than Puffy. You didn't know who the fuck Puffy was other than like some little bitch sidekick. He wasn't like Snoop Dogg to Dre. No, he was just this no-name fuck that, you know, said, during a few songs. And then he became a fucking superstar. Yeah. He killed Biggie. This much is obvious. USA, make another miniseries about this story. I will executive produce it and botch the shit out of it.
Oh, man. All right. So that was the connection for the Tyler Breeze.
Wait, I need to say allegedly.
Yes, allegedly.
That's right. Now you can't get sued.
Yes.
So you're good.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Like Paige allegedly got pounded from two dudes at the same time. Allegedly.
Like Kent saw.
Pretty sure you don't need to say allegedly anymore with that. I think that's pretty much public knowledge.
May or may not have to.
Yes. Allegedly, Kent enjoys Filipino transvestites.
Allegedly? we just talked about Tyler Breeze during a whole segment for no real reason.
But it brought up a good point. Tyler Breeze is a good-looking man.
He's better looking than every guy that was in this match.
He was.
Unless you really like wet hair or bushy beards.
Those bushy
beards.
See,
now, isn't like Elias like the best of both worlds? Because his hair is a little moist, and yep. He has a beard, but it's not bushy. And it's not dripping.
It's pretty bushy. It's not bushy like Seth Rollins. Holy crap, Seth Rollins' bushy beard. Holy shit.
Hey, I like Seth.
I miss
pants.
His fire pants.
Oh, no, I don't. Holy shit.
Come on, Seth was on such a roll with the fire pants, and then suddenly he takes them off, and now he's a shit wrestler again. I don't get it.
I know. What the hell?
Just doing like hour-long matches and jumping across.
Doing some fantastic work. Being the best thing on Raw.
Bullshit.
You better not steal Van Damme's.
Not this week. He wasn't the best thing on Raw, but like last week he was.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Until he starts doing cool shit like Braun, he's never going to be the best thing on Raw.
That's true.
Yo, just let me know when he flips over a fucking semi.
That's not possible. Only Braun can do that.
When he throws Roman Reigns off like a stretcher onto concrete and rams an ankle.
That's already been done. He can't do that now.
Let me know when he throws a grappling hook, hits nothing but pulls down the whole stage.
Rod's so strong that he missed it completely. Yeah, he pulled it down.
So when Seth starts doing that, then you know what? I will bow down to Seth.
Oh, all right. Well, the day will
or
come.
Have a huge cello. Let's not forget
that. That was a bass.
Yes.
Steve, this is why we have you around, to correct me constantly.
To correct you on musical instruments.
You know, they called it cello. They kept on calling it cello,
well,
didn't
actually,
they?
Well, actually, it was a bass.
Right. See, Steve was probably fuming at his television when he was watching this, as
Steve,
Michael Cole kept on calling it a cello. Steve's like, it's a bass! What are you doing, you stupid ass? It's a bass.
I was on message boards all night. Just kidding. It was a bass, damn it.
All right, so let's go back to the Elimination Chamber match now. For the men, we had a historic Elimination Chamber match. First time ever.
You know, it's odd that men were historic this time.
I know, right?
It happens that men are historic.
It was first time ever, 7 men in the Elimination Chamber match. We had Seth Rollins, Finn Balor, The Miz, Braun Strowman, Roman Reigns, and the John Cena. Kent, you already told us this is a shit sandwich. How did your shit sandwich end, sir?
With a piece of bread. You don't want to touch the shit with your hands, so you gotta have bread underneath. So this was the other piece of bread. The bread was freshly baked. This just kind of left a really shitty aftertaste. But it was good bread. And this match was very good. Alright, I hated the fucking story of this. This is why I gave the women the match of the night, because although the action was better in this match, not by much, but it was better, the storyline was terrible. And I love Braun. I just went like on 3-minute fucking rant about how cool Braun is. He didn't need 6 eliminations. Like,
and he didn't get 6.
And he didn't. You're right. He didn't need him, and he didn't get him. That's what I'm trying to tell you, Russ.
Right. Oh, sorry. Like,
I think he needed 6.
He did need 6, yes.
Well, I mean, if a certain guy's just going to keep hanging out with Dana White, then maybe he only needed the 5. We don't know. So, it's not that I hate to complain about Braun doing well, but nobody got any fucking shine other than Braun. I don't feel like anybody got any shine during this match other than Braun.
Roman Reigns looked strong.
No, he didn't.
He beat Strowman.
After he took how many? I think Braun Strowman took
Braun
a record.
Like 17 finishers like he was in New Japan?
Yeah, I was like, Braun Strowman was the Kenny Omega of this match. He took so many finishers and kept on getting out. Although they did do well with the finishers, they never got him pinned almost immediately afterwards, except for one or two of them, I think. So,
am I the only person that was disappointed it didn't come down to Roman versus Finn? So that's why I really wanted. I'm not even a huge advocate for Finn, but I just felt this was a good time to let him be in the finals, at the very least.
I think if he had been in the final two, it might have been able to justify why he never got his title rematch, but we're still not there yet.
He smiles too much.
He does.
He's like Apollo Crews. It's a goofy smile, too. It's like kind of weird. Like a kind of creepy.
Although on Monday night...
Like, I'm going to skin you alive and wear your skin as a suit kind of smile.
I don't know if it's that creepy, but I get what you're going for. It's goofy.
Shouldn't this have been a match where he came out as the demon since this was a chance to face Brock? Like, shouldn't this have been considered a big enough match where he came out as a demon?
They already fucked it up, Kevin.
For the WrestleMania triple threat.
Yeah.
It's won the IC title.
Ooh.
What?
Let's talk about that.
What?
So on Raw, The Miz...
Kurt Angle hates The Miz.
The Miz had to fight Seth Rollins first in a decently good match. I would say it was above quality match for me. And then as Seth was about to glow
Wait,
in the bath...
Russ is say the Seth Rollins match was... What?
I said it was above decent.
Wow, Russ is advocating for a Seth Rollins.
I know. I don't rare.
I'm in 100 episodes.
It's rare, right? It's 100 episodes. I had to do something shocking.
Right, right. Master.
But what I liked was how Seth was about to celebrate, but then Finn came out, and he was a total douchebag with it. He totally took a, and I know this is what they were going for. Kudos, because it worked, I thought. But it took away the shine from Seth, and Seth didn't like it. I like the dichotomy they're building here with this, with The Miz.
Ooh, big words,
yeah,
dichotomy.
Dichotomy. Wow.
And Seth,
right? Seth... The Miz,
Rogan,
yeah. Seth Rogen,
Seth,
yeah.
The Miz, and Finn. I really like this. I'm hoping there's a triple. I think it's going to be a triple threat match. We don't know yet for sure, because so many things can happen.
What you're telling me is that you really like a story built around Seth Rollins. Once again, first time that that's ever been.
Listen, I'm sorry that it shocks you, but I have to give Seth some credit here.
Russ, had Seth Rollins been booked against aforementioned shit sandwich at WrestleMania, you still would have been all over the storyline. You'd be like, it's really good storytelling, okay?
When
you were deeply inserted into Seth's anus, you had your fist directly up Jason Jordan's ass, and you were working him like a fucking pan puppet, okay? So that's what you've been doing for the past 3 months between those two things.
I'm not as big a fan of his as Jason's as Nana Russ is.
What a stupid name.
It is a stupid
Nana.
A Nana, right? Calls her kid a Nana. But I do like Jordan. You're right. I was going to say, I've been semi-critical of Seth. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'll definitely agree.
Of his pants.
Yeah, right.
He's still a great wrestler with his pants off.
No, he had a very mediocre 2017. All right? 2017 was pretty garbage. But 2018 was good
for him.
Listening
to this podcast, you wouldn't know that, though, if they just listened to you, Ross.
Well, most people don't, so.
Is there a count to how many times he was his man crush of the week?
Actually. It wasn't that often, because I knew I'd get crushed if I kept on calling it Seth.
I think it was kept under... I think it was like two or three.
Two or three, yeah. Cause I knew I'd get crushed for
Seth.
That's
not bad.
Yeah.
Braun won it way more than anybody else.
Kev,
as well
I
he
did
should.
Not use him earlier in the year. We said we changed it. We reset it.
You know what the worst part is?
Again,
I was going to wait a couple months. I was going to wait a couple months and then do Braun again and just be like, what are you talking about? I never used Braun. All right. So the match itself was good. I thought it was a lot of fun. They told... They kept Braun strong, which I think was great. But isn't Braun like a true face right now? Like the fans just
the
love him.
Face that they have outside of AJ.
He's pretty much Stone Cold on like some mutation steroid thing.
Yeah,
super Stone Cold.
He can't do anything wrong with the fans anymore. And yet he's not getting the push that you would have thought he'd get because he's a huge guy. This is the huge guy that Vince actually has always wanted. Isn't
he? This is the prototype of everything Vince McMahon has wanted since Andre the Giant fucking died.
Right, but he actually delivers too.
Well, Andre kind of.
Yeah, Andre did, but I'm talking about like the other guys afterwards.
I mean, basically,
really.
It went Andre, Taker, and now he has Strowman, and Strowman's going to main event WrestleMania.
You think so? You think he's still going to get it?
I hope so.
I what else are they going to do with him? Because they've already
spent so much time building to Brock Reigns, though.
It's either here's what it is. It's either Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal,
which
or
would be
main
waste.
Event because every other spot has been filled because we thought maybe he'd be Ronda's partner. Nope, that's going to be Kurt. Intercontinental Championship match. Nope, that spot's been filled by Russell.
He can still fit in there, too.
He can still fit into that.
It could be like a five-man match with like Cameron and Elias or something.
Steve, that'd be fucking historical.
Oh, he could fight against Elias at WrestleMania.
In which case, then I'd have a boner, okay?
He could be on the pre-show.
Right.
Then he'd have
a Battle Memorial. We don't know.
If he's in the... It'd be a waste of his talent if he's stuck in the Battle Royal.
Oh,
of the Andre
Luke
Giant.
Harper is nodding, gently.
I want him to be Alexa's bodyguard and like have that tag team be a thing in actual TV.
In porn.
I don't know if I want to see him destroy Alexa like that. But
no, I will fork over $100 right now for that.
She
but
would be destroyed.
It has to be anal. There has to be anal. Or else
so you want her ripped apart?
That might cut to $200.
All right, let's talk about the other part of this. Yes, it was the most okay. Was this since this thing was booked? Immediately since it was booked, before we know who was even in the Elimination Chamber match, we all knew who was winning it, right? So that's the problem.
Yeah,
that was a big problem.
Cena was going to win it, and then he didn't.
What?
Huh? Cena. Huh?
Oh yeah, Cena. All right. Cena was booked poorly. This.
You can't have a free agent winning your belt. For fighting.
I don't know. He just beat the SmackDown champion.
Cleanly, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. We'll talk about that.
Get in the fast lane.
Oh God, we'll talk about that. So yeah, we'll come back to Cena later because he's got SmackDown and Raw. So we'll talk Cena all in one shot later
Next
on.
Next, he's going 205 Live.
Like and then him. NXT just keeps on going everywhere.
And then the UK belt he was fight for.
Yeah.
I'm calling out you, Pete Dunne.
The UK title. Then he goes for the women's titles. Let's talk about the other part. Roman Reigns clearly was winning this before we even know who was in the match. So this was a really, they had to tell something more interesting because we already know who's going to win the damn thing. Were we disappointed? Did Roman not deliver? What do you think, Kent? What do you got?
I really hate those CarMax commercials. With that really irritating guy, I want Braun Strowman to come on during mid-commercial and just beat this fucking guy to a bloody puddle of flesh and bone. With that being said, it's not Roman's fault. People always want to blame Roman, but every person that's alive would, given that opportunity, would do
the same thing.
Oh. So I'm going to get paid more, and I'm going to get booked to beat everybody? No, I don't want to do that. People will hate me. I don't want
That's
to live a good
business.
Life.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, 100%. Roman is not doing anything wrong.
But as we said, though, this is the guy that Vince has been waiting for. Roman's not the guy Vince has been waiting for.
Yeah.
Braun's the guy.
Braun is. They caught lightning in a bottle with... We'll have to say this. It's Roman's fault Braun is the guy. Because if it wasn't for Roman, Braun wouldn't be as great as he is.
Whoa. That sounds like you're giving Roman Reigns credit, Russ. And
I know.
The internet.
I know. I'm sorry.
I think you're committing a heinous internet hate crime here, giving Roman credit.
I know. It's amazing how much the internet hates Roman. It is crazy.
He didn't get as much booze as I thought he would after the win, though.
I thought it was going to go rain down.
Subjected so much to knowing that it's going to happen that just like, nope, not going to say anything.
I did think
like,
that.
Wow, exactly what I thought happened.
Yeah.
But, you know, something I didn't bring up. During the women's segment, I think on Raw, I think Sasha was there, and you could hear some guys say, you guys were friends!
Yes. I heard that too. It's very clear.
It's still real to him, damn it.
There are people out there that still feel it's real. I had one.
Yeah, look at the WWE message boards. They post an article about somebody getting fired. It's like, it's not fucking fair. This guy's going to have to go on unemployment. My God.
There was.
He's been with the company for 10 years, and now he doesn't have a job.
How's he going to feed his family?
There was a post this morning or yesterday about Roman's little tirade on Raw, which we'll go into in just a second. But one guy just goes, he just goes off and be like, Brock Lesnar, you know, I can't believe what he's doing. He needs to show up more. He's too lazy. He's too fat and rich. And it's like, and he's spouting all these things like, you know, we need to get that belt back on someone who actually wants to wrestle. Brock doesn't want to. I'm like, okay, you're right. He is. So I'm thinking, okay, he's telling the truth, right? And then he goes in and breaks everything of his argument. And then he just goes, and he says, if I were Vince McMahon, I'd fire him now and take the belt away from him. I'm like, oh, what? Vince McMahon set this whole thing up. Vince McMahon knows all. What are you doing, you moron? Why are you talking? So it's all real to him. Like, I'm just like, I thought for sure he was just going against Brock because he's an ass the way he's been lately. No, he's going against Brock because he really truly thinks that this is a lazy wrestler. And he's disrespecting wrestling, not just that he's a part-time wrestler. That happens to get the belt.
The greatest story in wrestling ever told be that upon Vince McMahon's death, we learned that Vince McMahon has been working for somebody else this whole time. Would that not be the greatest twist in wrestling storytelling?
And it was The Undertaker the entire time.
Yes, the higher power, or Hornswoggle. We don't know, or you know, whatever. It doesn't matter. Just
Ted Turner.
It would be the Wizard of Oz, but even greater.
Yeah, that would be crazy. That would be a crazy twist.
Yeah, like we find out Linda was pulling Vince's chains. Like Linda's been the mastermind behind WWE's success all of these years, but never got an ounce of credit. That'd be fantastic. Or Vince's fucking mistress number three, allegedly.
Allegedly. All right, so let's go to Raw in Roman, and he was supposed to meet up with Brock Lesnar to have a little one-on-one chat here, but Brock didn't show up. Are we thinking this was part of the story? Did it really? He not really show up? What's going on here?
Sure. Can we make this the Kentertain segment? I feel like this is a better segment.
You want to go with this as the Kentertain segment?
Yeah, the Roman promo I think is a better segment.
Okay. Want to hold off on it? You want to break into it now?
No, go for it, Russ.
Okay. So, we are officially making... We're officially making Are You Not Kentertained 100...
About Roman Reigns. Let's piss
about
off
Roman
everybody.
Reigns. That's right.
All we may two do it a second time about Cena. Podcast.
Let's just piss off everybody.
So... Were You Not Kentertained? Roman Reigns came out and gave a speech. I don't want to say it's his best speech because I don't want to ruin my Were I Not Kentertained or not. But he gave a hell of a promo. Felt like it was a little bit of a shoot. Can't tell for sure. But the fans, when he came out, were booing him. But when he was done, they were on his side. So the question is, did this promo entertain you? Steve, were you not entertained?
It was definitely a more entertained promo than Roman Reigns has ever done. So, yes, I was entertained, but it was pretty much a rehash of Cena's whole thing against The Rock. And it was definitely scripted. I mean, it wasn't really a shoot. They had the whole thing planned, probably.
It was proved, yeah. It was definitely approved.
Yeah. I mean, it was Roman Reigns' best promo since Seth and Succotash. So
I forgot about that. Good call. Kent, were you not entertained?
Fuck no. Stop with this. Oh, it's a fucking shoot. No. You know how many shoot promos we ever really get in wrestling? I think you can call, like, real shoot promos that's happened in wrestling, probably you can count on one hand. I understand the Rock's promo against Austin to get the F out. I still feel that was a pretty damn good shoot promo, even though it was approved. I feel that was a shoot promo. Punk's pipe bomb, although approved, was about as good of a shoot promo as you get. The whole Vince Russo going off on Hogan and then having the Booker T. Jeff Jarrett main event for the belt may or may not have been approved because there was legal shit and nobody can talk about it, but I still feel that was pretty much shoot. And I've run out of shoot promos. Like, they don't really exist. This didn't exist. This was just a way to try to get people on
Roman's
side.
Do you think Shane Douglas had a shoot when he won the NWA title and threw it in the trash?
Oh.
Or was that scripted by Paul Heyman?
That's a good... I don't know. Paul's a fucking master. Paul's just on a different level than everybody else in the history of wrestling. I don't know, but I mean that could be. That could be. But once again, we're only up to four. Like shoot promos don't exist, and this was smart, very smart in WWE's part to try to get fans, and it worked. It worked because internet fans, as smart as they think they are really just fucking mindless lemmings. I mean, Bullet Club. Oh my god, CWO rehash, but new name and really shitty song. Yay.
Alright. Oh, sorry, you weren't done.
I was just busy making fun of Carrie.
Oh, okay, I thought that's what you were doing. I was like, alright, because I haven't said anything. Well, I definitely know it wasn't a shoot. Yeah, I know, nobody cares. Even though I know it wasn't a shoot, I felt it was Roman's best promo in a long time. I thought it was his best until you reminded me of Suffered Succotash. So that was one of the best. So I was entertained. I really liked it. This was actually a really smart play. I'm not one of those Roman haters, as we've said millions of times on this program. So I'm okay with what Roman's done, but this is some of his best work. And if they're going to make it look like, if they're finally playing up what we've always been saying since Brock got the belt, they're finally playing it up now. I like it. I hope they go more with this. Clearly, we all agree Brock was definitely left off by WWE, not him not showing up, right? Even though they haven't said anything yet.
We don't know.
Yeah, he wants money. So he's not going to not get money. I mean,
right.
Ridiculous.
Right. But do you think they paid him to not show up? They definitely paid him not to show up.
Probably, yeah.
That's what I think. I don't think he didn't show up on his own. You think it might be real still?
I'm not saying that. Yeah, why not? I say Brock said fuck it. He's not in any need to show up. There was no need for him to show up this particular night. There's 6 fucking weeks till WrestleMania. He pulled this shit, what, 3-4 years ago?
Yeah.
He knows the trick. Vince knows what's going on. I'm not saying it was real in the fact that Brock's upset, but yeah, Brock's probably using this a little bit as a tactic. I can't... Traditionally, WWE does not advertise for something and not follow through. That's why I say that there's a hint of reality. Yeah, Brock's probably trying to hold out for more money, and maybe, you know, they were negotiating, and Vince's like, you know what? Just don't show up. We'll do a pro. Like, it probably worked out well.
I think so. I think this has got to be a benefit to it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I think everybody benefited from it.
They did advertise God on a Raw, and he didn't show up.
Yeah, he didn't show up.
So
I thought Shawn Michaels was there.
He's not God. He's Jesus.
No.
Didn't they also promote Vince against the owner of the Colorado Arena once?
Yes, they did. Oh, that was brilliant. Is it just me, or should they just... Maybe they should let Roman... Maybe they shouldn't write any promos for Roman. Because the only time Roman cuts a promo... A Romo. Whenever he does that... when he gets to be himself, They're not great, but they're significantly better than the ones that are overly scripted.
Which is true for everybody.
It really is, but isn't Roman like the glaring, obvious one that really could benefit more than anybody else? Because his scripted promos are so bad.
They are. He lacks like he's reading.
Like, he's actually, he comes off like a genuinely like cool dude to like hang out with. Like,
yeah.
I'd have some beers with this guy. But the way that they write for him, no, he's just a douchebag with wet hair.
And right, when he talks for himself, he's just an arrogant asshole with wet hair.
Can we make fun of Renee Young's fucking outfit for a second?
Sure.
That shiny, sparkly thing.
Oh my, like, why is it that every other pay-per-view, she goes from really good looking to, why are you wearing this?
That's her gimmick.
Like, is Dean involved in this in any way? I wonder if her and Dean have, like, bets, and, you know, halftime, like, she loses, and Dean gets to pick out her attire. Or if, like, if Dean loses, she's like, you have to bounce off the ropes and try to look as ridiculous as possible with your stupid-ass clothesline. Like, I think that, like, this is an ongoing bet in their relationship, because there are times where he looks absolutely fucking stupid as shit. She dresses stupid as shit. I think this is the answer.
It makes sense.
Thank you.
You've answered it. You've done it. You've broken the case.
Case solved.
Yeah. All right. So that was the Elimination Chamber match and our Raw preview. Our Raw review. I don't think we really have to hit anything else. We really hit all those main parts. Didn't we talk about the women?
No, just hit them.
Oh, we just want to hit them. Gotcha. So, it is the 100th
Hashtag
episode.
Me too.
There it is. I was wondering if you're going to get that into this week. All right, so it is our 100th episode. So, we thought we'd do something special for the fans. And what we decided to do this week was. Fans, I'm sure we have somebody.
At least two, I guess. Yeah.
I'm sure we have somebody in the Philippines that may or may not have a penis down in their lower region, or
as
maybe took it out.
Upper region? Oh, fuck, man.
They may or may not have a penis that may enjoy it. So I don't know. So what we decided to do was go with a top five. Best gimmicks, not just WWE, but best wrestling gimmick matches, and a top five worst gimmick matches. So we each came up with a list, or at least I hope we did. Steve, you got a list?
Somewhere.
Excellent. I'm glad the quality and professionalism of us knowing where everything
found
is.
Found it.
Oh, good. So,
are we starting with worst?
I think we should do the top five worst.
Well, let's do the best first, because we're all going to have like the same answers.
Probably.
But
yeah, you're right.
It's going to be more fun.
So do we want to do, we go through our list, talk a little bit, and then go?
No. Just everybody does their number five, everybody does their number four. That way.
Okay. Sounds good.
It'll get terribly boring.
Okay. So let's do the top five best matches, or best gimmick matches.
Can I clarify
something?
Sure. For the fans, we're not saying that the, you know, some great match like the 2013 Royal Rumble. It's not gotta be specific, it's just the Royal Rumble.
Right. Correct. It's just right. A gimmick match that we actually enjoy, whatever we feel that are always fun. So let's go with our number fives. Gentlemen, Kent, let you start. What was your number five?
Oh, I don't have them numbered.
I don't either.
Oh, okay. Let's go with the subjects we're going for. So.
Okay, yeah. My number five is, you know, it's plain as hell, but it's always something I enjoyed. ECW's three-way dance. They never let you down, because you'd have...
Would you expand that to the four-man they have sometimes, too?
Yeah, like, it was an elimination-type match where you would have so many men... And then if you got pinned, you were eliminated. It wasn't like the triple threat match that WWE has now where it's the first person that gets pinned. No, it's an elimination style match. And those matches are far more entertaining. One of my favorites had to be, Taz, Masato Tanaka, and Mike Awesome. Where Taz got pinned and like he's in the entryway, he's just like, you two guys go for it. And it was a cool passing of the torch moment.
That one was great, too, because it was his last one before going to WWE, and the fans were, like, useful out. Then he got pinned, and they're like, thank you, Taz, and stuff like that, and they gave him a standing ovation.
And then they brought him back to fuck over Mike Awesome, who was leaving for more money to be a fat chick thriller.
The fat chick thriller. Yep.
Fat chick thriller. So that's my number five.
Okay. Steve.
My number five is the 24-hour hardcore rules matches in WWF.
Ah, I just enjoy them. Great gimmick.
It reminded me of actual ECW, maybe a little watered down. But it was entertaining.
Well, it was a good gimmick.
Crash Holly was involved, Al Snow. I mean, they had great guys doing funny stuff.
Molly Holly.
And they went outside the arena sometimes and did all that stuff. It was good. Change of pace.
Yeah. One question. What was the last time somebody threw a belt over a bridge? It feels like an eternity. It's
been a long time.
Stone Cold and Rock.
Probably. I would say way over 10 years, I'd say, at this point.
Jesus.
All right. My number five was the Bring Your Weapons From Home matches. They always had an ECW. I always enjoyed those matches just because it was innovative, because they didn't know what weapons they were going to get sometimes from the people in the crowds. And they would... So they had to improvise in some of the stuff. They were some really funny weapons they would use. Now, I don't know if this was all staged or not. Who knows? I would assume it wasn't, because it seems like they always went out of the crowd and got them just randomly. So I always love those types of matches. They're always fun and entertaining, and some of the things they use are hilarious. So I've always liked those types of matches. That's my number five. All right, let's go to number four. You want me to mix it up or just go back to you, Kent?
Don't matter to me.
You go to Kent, Ken. Let's just go stay in order. Kent, number four.
All right, since I feel that you guys will hit on some of these other matches, I'm going to say barbed wire match. True barbed wire match.
Almost made mine, but yeah.
Almost made mine.
Sabu versus Terry Funk goes down as a match that when I know that there's somebody who might be interested in wrestling, I show them that, and they get the fuck away from this nightmare of being a wrestling fan. But it was truly...
It's a favor for them, yeah.
You know a match is great when they are just like, we don't know how to finish this match because we're so entangled, or... Oh, I'm in so much pain, but just give me a roll of tape and I'm just going to just tape myself up and keep going. Like, there's been some shit ones, don't get me wrong, but the true good ones back in the hardcore days were, you know, I'm a sick fuck. I don't care. I'll admit it. I love that shit. So for me, that's my number four.
I mean, that was close for me.
Well, it probably would have been like my number seven, but since I figured nobody else had it, I wanted to be...
Right, I get what you're saying. It was close for me. My problem is that I've only seen one or two that I really liked. The others were like...
But the one you saw was amazing.
Yeah. One of them I saw was definitely amazing. The other one, I don't remember who it was, but there was a decent one. I want to say it was Mick Foley and...
Sandman, I think.
Sandman, right? Yeah. That was a really good one, too. But other than that, there's been some really crappy ones, too. I haven't seen that many, but still. All right, Steve, you're number four.
I'm not sure if Money in the Bank counts as this.
It does.
But I put down ladder match, a generic ladder match.
Oh, okay. Yeah, money. Okay, I was going to say that's technically separate. Isn't Money in the Bank separate from...
Yeah.
Well, I because I have it later on, I have ladder match, Money in the Bank, and TLC all as the same.
Oh, okay. All right.
It comes down to a ladder match. That's how you win it, is via the ladder collecting something.
Okay.
So I grouped them all together myself.
There's very few that have been bad.
Yeah.
I can't think of any, really. And they're fun, especially Shelton Benjamin's involved. Or Jericho.
Yeah.
He has good spots on those two.
Or even Kofi.
Yeah, Kofi. I'll say Kofi has some decent matches or stuff from that, too. My number four is the Royal Rumble. I really enjoy the Royal Rumble. Yes, I know. Number four.
Wow, really? Like, you have three other matches that you like better than the Royal Rumble.
Well, I didn't want to... Okay. I didn't want to have it number one because I'm assuming you guys had it close to number one, if not one, number one, right?
Oh, yeah, because reasonable fucking people like kick cereal and they put fucking Royal Rumble number
it
one.
It would be one. It technically really is my number one.
Like, is my. You know why it's my number one? I'll be honest, why it's my number one.
Well, Russ, how about you give us your number three and then go back to number one when we get to number one?
Oh, okay. Fine. My number three, or my number four, sorry, it was Elimination Chamber. I really love the Elimination Chamber matches. Most of them are really fun to watch. I think I've seen one bad one. The rest were fantastic.
The WWE CW one in December?
Yes, yes.
December? Was it December to Dismember?
Yeah, December to Dismember. Yes, oh, it was awful.
Test was in it, though.
Yes, yeah, that's true. But most of them are really good. I really enjoy them. So Elimination Chamber is my none. All right, number three, Kent.
I'm going to go with another company that never gets enough props for this one match. Almost all of their other matches are dog shit. Ultimate X in TNA is one of the best matches going today, especially if you go back 10 years ago with Joe, AJ, Austin Aries, Christopher Daniels, Kazarian, Sanjay Dutt, the fucking guy that did the Goomba Stomp, and he was in WWE quickly.
Loki.
Who?
Loki.
No, he was managed by Michelle McCool and like by Lay Cool in Tough Enough.
Yeah, it was Loki. L-O-K-I, Loki.
Oh, I didn't hear you properly.
I don't know what his name is on WWE. It wasn't Loki.
It was like Caval or some shit.
Caval, right, yep.
Yeah.
That's right.
But either way, this is actually one of the few gimmick matches that TNA gets right, and if you really want to see some good, like, look up anything prior to, like, 2012 of the Ultimate X, and you'll be in for a really good treat. This barely beat out Braun Panties matches. Barely.
Barely.
I actually forgot all about the Ultimate X, and it is. It's good. It's good shit.
I don't think I've ever seen one. I'll have to check one out. 2000, before 2000 what, 12?
I'd say between 2012, between, even before 2010, just to be safe, you'll see, like, back in the day when AJ was first starting to get in Aries and stuff, like, they're just going balls out. It's crazy shit.
Okay.
And the idea behind it is there's an X above the ring that has a belt hanging from it.
Okay.
And the only way to get to it is climb the top of a pole to get to the X and crawl across to get it.
Like, the X is made of cable wire, so you have to crawl across the cable. So there's all sorts of crazy shit going on when you get close to the X.
Holy crap. Okay, yeah. I was going to say, that seems like it would be insane.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Number three, guys. Number three. Kent. Oh, wait.
Didn't he just do three?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Steve.
I originally put King of the Ring, but then I thought any tournament is awesome to watch.
Mm.
Unpredictability of it. A one-night tournament, though, right?
Yes, a one-night tournament, ideally, yeah. Even the
ones that aren't
was good.
Yeah.
The only one that I could say was bad, WrestleMania 4's tournament was made up of a lot of shit matches. That's the only one I can think was like, really bad.
Yeah, it was. I just like the whole idea of like an actual, like, it's like an actual competition that way, you know?
Yeah.
March Madness and
tournaments are fun.
Wrestling event. Four matches in one night.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
Tournament matches.
Hitman selling his finger injury in the King of the Ring the whole
didn't
time.
Did he have that great match against Bam Bam that night too?
Mm-hmm. I think so. Yeah.
Him and Bam Bam. That should have been a feud that got more shine.
Bam Bam should have done more.
Bam Bam really was everything Vince was looking for, but he just wasn't tall enough, I guess.
Yeah, he was a bit shorter. He was agile, though.
Yeah, he ridiculously agile for a big man.
Good. All right. My number three is the TLC match. Or any ladder match. Those are my... It's not my first love of WWE, but it really hooked me to want to watch WWE continuously, and that was the downfall of me. So any ladder match, really, TLC, Money in the Bank, whatever. All those. Those are all always fun. All right. Number two. Kent, what's your number two?
Well, to echo the sentiments of both you and Steve, this is where I had the ladder match because I got thinking about it. I was like, yo, although like Hall versus, well, Razor versus HBK was the first big one, if you think about throughout history, the percentage of bad ladder matches is like in the single digits. If you combine all the Money in the Banks, TLCs, and all that stuff, you know, we all remember how great Dudley's, Hardy's, and Edge and Christian were. I would hope that, well, I know Steve at the very least, I don't know about you, Russ, Taker versus Jeff Hardy on Raw was one of the greatest Raw matches in the history.
When he was Biker Taker, right?
When he was Biker Taker, yes. That was one of the greatest Raw matches. And you know, Edge versus Cena in TLC was a great match. Rock versus Triple H at SummerSlam, like 99, was a great like I said, there's so many great ladder matches when you combine Money in the Bank, TLC, all that stuff. WLC, as you know, we already talked about. So, yeah, I had to put it at number two because I'm struggling to think of really many bad ladder matches in general. That's why.
All right. Steve, you're number two.
This one has a clarification.
wait,
this
wait.
Is not
it,
WWE.
Does it not include this most recent one?
It does, indeed. This is the WCW War Games.
Okay.
The cage has a top on it.
That's great.
It's just so much better than what we saw on NXT. Like, there's no describing how much better it is if you haven't seen it.
Yeah, War Games is a lot of fun. And the only reason I didn't choose any of the War Games is just because I saw them in retrospect, and I didn't see them all. So I can't say they're all good. The one I did see was good.
I feel like WCW is mostly going to be in the bottom five list. So I feel like having War Games on a good list is a good idea for WCW.
You're right. Like, War Games was on there, and then I was like, Steve's going to touch on War Games, so that's why I went with the ultimate.
Yeah, and I was like, I can't say enough about War Games. I enjoy the concept. I really like the idea, but I never really watched enough.
The shitty years where, like, there wasn't huge names, the matches were still really good.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget,
was it Brian Pillman? That was probably the best one.
Oh, yeah. Well, the first one I ever saw was... It was the first NWO one where you had, was Sting going beyond NWO? Oh, wait, that's fake Sting. Like, that was a cool-ass story.
Yeah.
This works so much better the way they had it in WCW. NXT just really bastardized it and ruined it.
NXT took a giant fucking elimination chamber all over that fucking gimmick.
Oh, that's good stuff. All right, my number two is the Hell in the Cell match. Very few bad Hell in the Cell matches. In fact, I would say maybe there's only one, maybe two, that we can mark as bad. Tough on that
would
one.
Would that one involve a owner's son?
Yes, that was.
My problem with Hell in the Cell. This is why I didn't make my top five, because I have it written down in my top.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that the quality of the matches have been much less over the past 10 years, with a few exceptions. Like New Day versus Usos was a great match.
Yep.
But when they stopped bleeding,
they're too safe now.
It feels so fucking clean now, as opposed to what it originally meant. It meant so much more the first half of its lifetime compared to what we get now. Not that the matches are any worse, but once again, I'm a sick fuck and I like blood, so.
Fair enough.
I didn't make my top five, right?
I enjoy them, even when the Shane McMahon versus KO match, there was a point where we were all, holy shit, what the hell? Like, we were all taking our breath away.
Better than the Taker match, though, really. Shane versus Taker was actually the worst of the two, wasn't it?
Yeah. Ugh. That one wasn't that good. But, like, the KO, even the KO Shane one, which was decent, I thought it was okay. But when they were up on the top, we were all holding our breaths, like, holy shit, they're going to die. So that always, to me, is something that's really good.
The most compelling part of the whole pay-per-view, that when they were up top, really.
Yeah. All right, so number one. What's your number one gimmick match?
On everybody's list?
On everybody's list.
Because
it's the single most fun match that we look forward to every year.
Yes.
And it's because it's unpredictable, it's fun to guess, like... You get quote-unquote audience participation. You get blast from the past, so you get the nostalgia. And you usually know who's going to win, or you know, like, possible four people. But it's still fun. Like, the Royal Rumble is the epitome of fun, drama, excitement, nostalgia. It brings everything together that you enjoy as a wrestling fan. And I got to see Ric Flair in 1992 win, so...
Yes. So, Steve, Royal Rumble.
Yes, there's nothing else I can say to it.
That's the only reason I put it for. That's why I switched it out. I was like, everyone's going to choose Royal Rumble as number one.
I'm going to be different. Put it like five.
I put it in the top five at least.
If you had to sit there and think, Russ, next year, 2019, what's the one match you're looking forward to most?
Royal Rumble.
Right. Like, you could say that every year and not really feel like you're wrong.
Yeah, there's only been one or two piss poor Rumbles that, and out of the 30. Some odd.
1995 is one of the worst Royal Rumbles in the history. And then there was, I want to say it was 97.
There was a recent one. There was even more recent than that. I thought there was like a 2000s one that we just shit all over.
There was one pretty bad.
2013, the one, the Daniel Bryan year?
Yes.
Most likely, yeah.
Yes.
And Rey Mysterio got booed out.
Poor Rey Mysterio.
Rey Mysterio just recently went on record. He's like, you know, if I had to do it again, I would have gone backstage and brought Daniel Bryan out and just give him my spot. It wasn't worth it for him. He's like, I was just going to get eliminated fast anyways. I would rather just give him my spot away.
Yeah. Oh.
Man. Hey, at least we're going back to New Orleans.
Oh, boy. All right. So now we did our top five best, because we had pretty much similar here and there, a couple of different ones. That was good. Let's do our top five worst gimmick matches. Again, we'll start with your number five. And let's start with Steve this time. Number five, Steve, what's your five? Number five for worst gimmick match?
Well, Kent said a variation of this was almost on his top five, which is the bra and panties match. I went with the tuxedo match at number five.
Yeah. That's terrible.
Because usually it's a comedy match, which is its out-of-shape ring announcers, managers, and no one wants to see a guy in his... stripped down to his underwear.
Come on.
Yeah. No one wants to see that. And it's just terrible. It's not good to anyone.
Definitely terrible. All right, Kent.
See, I really wish I knew what everybody else's list was like so I could eliminate a couple.
I gave you my list.
That's true. I'll go with the safe one right now. In the history of ever, there's never been a single good Inferno match. Despite the quality people in those matches, you can't do a quality... Inferno matches and First Blood matches are both shitty because... First Blood matches, you have to be super safe not to bust somebody open on accident. It always seems so rigged, and the Inferno match is even more rigged. So,
it's usually Kane full body suit against
the guy. Like, against Austin in black trunks.
No, that's First Blood. That was a blood match, and that's one of mine.
Okay. Well, I'm happy to ruin Russ's thunder. Russ, you've been
number one, too.
No, it wasn't number one. But it wasn't number five, either. Number five, I was struggling with this one. So I put Iron Man match. And not all of them are bad. I know you love them, Kat. I know.
I had that as, like, my number seven top pick.
Really? No, I thought you... Because the one thing I keep on thinking, there are good Iron Man matches, but that's only if you have...
Versus Shawn?
Well, yeah, that's the one I keep on going back to. But that's not the only one that was awful. The problem with Iron Man matches is that if they aren't both great competitors, the match gets boring as shit. So it was really tough for me to find a fifth one that was absolutely awful for me. But I was like, Iron Man matches can be hit or miss.
WCW then, sir.
What?
You did not watch enough WCW.
No, I didn't. Why? Was WCW had great ones?
Me and Steve could have made a top 25 worth... gimmick matches in WCW.
Ric Flair and Steamboat had an awesome Iron Man match.
Oh.
Who was that? Steamboat and Root, right?
I think so, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. Steamboat Root.
Yeah, because Root got intentionally DQ'd twice in a row and then got the pins right back, and it was a great story. It was only a half-hour one. But let's not forget, Triple H had an opponent that they alluded to on Raw last week. I mean, they couldn't say his name or anything, but...
No.
Mr. Benoit was involved, and... I mean, Triple H has been in a few good Iron Man matches. I think once against Kurt, if I'm not mistaken. Kurt and Brock had a great one. And yes, there have been shit ones. Bret and Shawn is probably one of the worst WrestleMania main events in history.
That's one most people think about, too, when they hear Iron Man match. It's that one. It was like, oh, sudden death all of a sudden.
Yeah. My problem, like I said, I struggle to find the fifth one for me. It just... For me, when I hear Iron Man match, I'm like, oh, God, they better be good opponents, because they're not. You're going to have an hour of shit. So it's tough to – that's why I chose that one. All right.
Other bad thing about Iron Man matches is when they're tied and, like, they try to pull off, like, some ridiculous stunt 15 seconds ago and it doesn't look right, it can come off really tacky.
Hmm.
Without the tax.
Yeah, right. All right, number four, Steve.
I know I said I love just about any tournament in wrestling because it seems like an actual event. This one was an actual fight, and it was god-awful, and that's Brawl for All. It pretty much ruined Dr. Death's career because he wasn't a tough guy at all. And then it ended up with Butterbean against, Bart Gunn in the paper.
Yeah, did it technically ruin Bart Gunn's career? Because
it did.
After that, he was never seen again. He would have been better off being a nameless guy in the roster. He would have had a job, at least.
I think Dr. Death blew out his ACL or something and got knocked out by Bart Gunn, so...
Yeah.
Well, I mean, wasn't there a few legit injuries during that?
Yeah, there were a few of them. Yeah.
Right, didn't JBL had an okay run? Godfather got to prove he was strong. But, yeah, that was a fucking shit show. Because they didn't know how to implement the rules properly.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, Ken. Did TNA you're number four.
Do that too?
TNA just got rid of that division.
Okay.
Yeah. My number four, and I had this as my number five on top list, but there was a time in WCW, you don't hear that word a lot here, that phrase, where there was a guy in yellow and red, I believe, still at the time, who may or may not say racist things on the telephone, against a guy who may be the most overrated wrestler of all time. In the Nature Boy, and they had a barbed wire match in WCW, except it was a rubber-tipped barbed wire match. There was no possible way to get hurt in this match. It was one of the worst things I have ever sat through in my life. It was painful in how unpainful it was for them to be in this match. I believe Big Show and JBL may have also been in a rubber-tipped
match. In a rubber-tipped match, I think so, yes.
So, as much as I love barbed wire matches, because I put it at number five, when they bastardize it, yeah, that's making the list as well.
That's true. All right, number four for me is very similar. It's just a single match. I think it's the only time it's ever happened. But dog poo match. I believe it was the British Bulldog and The Rock. And I think
is that different from Kennel from Hell? I guess it is.
Yes, Kennel from Hell was WCW. This was WWE's.
Kennel from Hell had Al Snow and Big Boss Man. Not that it's possibly on my list or anything. Not that
oh, that's
I know
right.
When it happened,
yeah.
But yeah.
But the dog poo in the match. I guess basically what it was. There was a tray of dog poo, and whoever got thrown through it, lost. It was.
Can we just acknowledge anything involving dogs? So I don't have to waste one of my picks on
like the. Eat the dog food match or the Shamrock.
Oh, yeah, that was terrible, too. Oh, my God.
Like, I think I watched a thing with Al Snow about the Kennel from Hell match, and he's like, the dogs just weren't into it. They were just going to the bathroom, and they were not into trying to fight. Like, yeah, because I had this as one of my possible ones, but I'm not going to waste it since you brought it up, Russ.
All right, so let's go to number three, Steve.
I don't know what the actual name of this is. I feel like it's not what I have written down.
Is it King of the Mountain?
It was in TNA. It might have been. It's the Reverse Battle Royal.
King of the Mountain.
Oh, the Reverse Battle Royal. Those are fucking awful. Yeah.
No, those are just one of Vince Russo's creations. And, you know, could we hit on top five of just Vince Russo stuff? I mean, bottom five?
Yeah, we could have.
Yeah, we absolutely could.
Just like anything Russo did and pretty much... But it makes no sense to have people fighting outside to get into the ring and then have a match. I don't even remember the whole rules.
If I remember correctly, it's they fight on the outside and the first eight in the ring, or is it eight? I think it's eight. Then the others on the outside are eliminated. Those on the inside then have to do a regular battle royal until the last two, and then it's a regular match at the end.
Yeah, let's battle to get inside, only to battle to throw people outside.
Yeah.
And then have a regular match.
Yeah, it was stupid. Fucking stupid.
Jeff Jarrett, King of the Mountain.
Woo! All right, Kent, what was your number three?
Does anybody have, a paternal or a maternal figure on a pole match?
No. I left it off.
Sorry. Well, then I'll be the guy that takes the bait here and say... Judy Bagwell on a pole match lives on in history as one of those all-time fuckfests.
Really, like, any pole match isn't that good.
A middle-aged lady on a pole match, like, that's what you did. That's what WCW at one point thought. This is going to bring in the ratings. This is going to bring in the buyers. We're going to put a middle-aged chubby woman on a pole. And it's going to be the mom of a bag. It was his legit mom. Like, that shit happened. It would only happen in WCW. Like, yes, they may have had Al Wilson trying to marry Don Marie in WWF, but that was fucking brilliant compared to Judy Bagwell in a pole match. So that's my number three.
All right. My number three are blindfold matches. I fucking hate blindfold matches. They're so stupid, especially when they're just walking around. Like, doing that, like, trying to feel for each other and get where they are so they can do their moves and stuff. And just, oh, my God, so painful to watch. I hate them. Hate them so much.
There was one good one.
Yeah.
Because the heel, I forgot who it was, didn't put his mask on, and he just beat the shit out of the guy with the mask on.
Okay, that's good. That is good.
I remember, I think it was a WrestleMania, it was Jake Roberts versus Rick Martel in a blindfold mask. And as a kid, I loved it. I ate that shit up. As
yeah, because
adult,
he was blinded from arrogance, the spray in his face.
Yeah, he got sprayed with arrogance. As an adult, not so entertaining. But as a kid, I fully admit I ate that shit up. I did like it.
I hate him. Hate him, hate him, hate him. All right. Number two, Steve.
If you own the War Games Blu-ray, this is on it. I don't consider it War Games at all because you start with on the top. There's three cages. The normal size cage, a medium size cage, and a little tiny cage if it's two people. You start on top and work your way down to get out is the idea of the match.
Yeah, okay,
and
yeah.
It just doesn't work at all. You have guys sitting around doing nothing for most of the time. And
yeah.
Can I add an addendum to Steve's? Because I'd read this and I thought he was referring to the Doomsday Cage match at Uncensored 1996.
That's kind of the same thing.
It isn't the same thing. Yeah, isn't that kind of the...
The worst part about it is watching guys attempting to wrestle while walking on the actual cage material on the mat.
Yes, right.
Yeah.
And you can't, like, but that match was also great because it had Z Gangster, better known as Zeus, better known as Tiny Lister.
Yes. Wasn't that also Hulk Hogan too? Wasn't it?
It was Hogan and Macho versus
like
Flair,
Aaron,
Zeus, Kevin Sullivan. I want to say Benoit.
Daddy, baby.
Yeah, and then didn't they literally just like. Embarrassed
it was
them.
It was an embarrassment of riches. Of
yeah, yeah.
I highly
I remember.
Recommend
right.
anybody listening to this to seek that match out.
Does WWE has it, doesn't it?
It must be on the network.
Yeah, it's on the network. I've rewatched it a few times.
I kind of want to watch it just to see the shit show.
Uncensored 1996.
All right, Uncensored 19. I'm going to write that down. I'm definitely going to watch that because I haven't seen it, but I've heard so much about it. Uncensored 1996. All right. All right, good. All right. Was that Steve's? Because I don't know if we jumped on him. All right, I don't know if we jumped on talking about it. All right, number two, Kat, go.
Another great, I want to say Vince Russo classic in TNA, and something they're still using today for some god-awful reason is the Feast or Fired match.
Mm.
The rules are simple. Four briefcases are up on a pole, because once again, Vince Russo has a thing with poles. And there's four, and the four briefcases. One is a tag team championship opportunity. Another one is X Division championship. The other one's world championship, and the other one's a pink slip, and you get fired. And this is how TNA fires people. They don't want to just like fire you. No, they want to put you in this feast or fired match, and you're supposed to be like, oh yeah, there's 20 guys competing to possibly get fired. It's the most retarded thing. Why would So, here's your options. You have a chance at a championship, but you also have a chance of getting fired, or you just don't pick up a briefcase and play.
And nothing happens. Anyway. Right.
Like, it's so fucking inane. So.
I would just be like, I don't want to get the pink slip. I'll just wait until either that's gone.
You don't know.
You don't
they
know.
Open it at a later date.
Oh.
So
then I wouldn't even bother with it.
Right. But these guys are like killing themselves trying to get a briefcase in which they're probably gonna get fired. There's a 25% chance Like, it's retarded. It's so bad.
And here's the other thing. Why did they wait till another time to open them when we all know what was supposed to happen anyway? Isn't it all scripted? So...
Well, they had this whole presentation where they all four winners of the briefcases randomly open up, and you'd be shocked to know that one of the last two people always had the pink slip.
What?
I know. And the other one's the world championship opportunity.
Yeah. Oh, what? How is
it? It's every time. It's weird how that happens.
Yeah, it's amazing. All right. My number two is more of a rules that really pisses me off about this, and it's cage matches. Holy shit, I hate just the logic of them, especially when it comes to tag team cage matches. But the rules of cage matches are so stupid. You can either get out by climbing out or getting out through the door, but there's so many times when you have that opportunity to get out, and you don't. And then, for some reason, they change the rules to you can pin the person or submit the person on the inside. What the fuck's the point of the cage?
Can I ask why you can't pin or submit somebody on the outside in Elimination Chamber? Since they've redone the whole outside grading to be like a wrestling mat.
I thought it was. What, didn't you used to be able to anywhere in the Elimination Chamber pin them?
I don't recall.
I feel like you could, but maybe I'm just remembering it wrong.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't get why you can't either.
Yeah, it's all part of the chamber, so it should be anywhere in the chamber.
I will say this to you, Russ. Go back to like 1993. You'll have a good time trying to search for this. Okay. But if you can find Money Incorporated versus the Steiner Brothers on Monday Night Raw in a cage match, it's a cage match with a tag team done right.
If you saw the ending at the house show you went to.
Yeah. But it's asinine, isn't it? Like, I don't hate all the cage matches because some of them do turn out to be good. It's just there's such an asinine rule that it bothers the shit out of me, and I hate
them. Wait, Russ, are you trying to tell me that when somebody has a chance to win, but they'd rather stand over their opponent and just mock them and kick them rather than just walk out of the cage and not get hurt anymore, you think that's asinine?
Yeah, I know.
I don't understand.
Yeah, I know, right?
That's what I would do.
Right.
Obviously the smart choice, right? All right. Number ones. Let's go. Number ones. Steve, what is your number one hated gimmick?
This, as far as I know, this only happened once.
Okay.
Hulk Hogan is involved, along with, at the time, I believe he was Andre's illegitimate son.
This is about 1995, 96?
Yeah.
It's probably a Halloween Havoc, I'm guessing. I don't know. But instead of having the actual fight, they had a monster truck sumo match.
Yes.
On top of a building. And we were led to believe that Hogan pushed the giant's big monster truck off the top of the building into the river and killing him. Later on in the night, Big Show shows up, dripping wet, totally alive, and fine.
Yes.
With his awesome hair at the time.
So due to the absurdity of it, that's my number one bottom worst ever.
I never saw that, but I've heard about that.
Oh, you owe it to yourself to listen to the commentary. They're like, oh my god, is he dead? Like, they
The funniest thing is, after it goes over the top, you hear the splash.
You do. And like, the sound effects were top notch.
Oh, man, I wish I'd seen. See, these are some of the things I kind of want to watch just to see how awful it is. All right, Kent, what is your number one hated thing?
Well, I had three WCW things to throw in here, and I did pick one worse than the other, but I will say that King of the Road match with Dustin Rhodes versus Blacktop Bully, in which they were fighting in the back of a semi.
It wasn't Bunkhouse Buck?
It was Blacktop Bully. I looked it up. It was that Uncensored, like, 93 or something, 94, something like that. It was a match in the back of a semi on a flatbed with lots of bales of hay, and they had to wrestle to get to the end closest to the semi and honk a horn. And it is... at one point, the truck had to stop for a bus. Like, and they kept, like, cutting, it was so bad. But that's not my number one. I just wanted to mention this.
Oh, okay.
That was a lot of blood, wasn't it, in that one?
Yeah. And this one wasn't even my number one, but I still need to give mention to the Chamber of Horrors match. And like,
yeah.
Because they go to flip the switch and nothing happened. I think it was Foley that flipped the switch, nonetheless. This was just a cavalcade of
fuckery. Didn't it fall down at one point, the switch?
It fell down, yeah. It like... This was such a poorly planned thing, and poor Abdullah the Butcher had to get shocked. And that's still not the number one. Although, as a kid, that was a real guilty pleasure of a match. I enjoyed the shit out of it. My number one match, because I recently rewatched this match, and I still struggle to this day to believe that this match happened. Anybody listening to this, go to Bash at the Beach 2000 and find the graveyard match between Vampiro and the Kiss Demon. You think you've seen fucketry? You've not seen fucketry until you have seen this match. Like,
2000?
Asia's involved because she's the female version of China, but Asia's bigger than China. Yeah. There's like a Jason Voorhees moment where one of the guys comes out of the fucking water like a fucking serial killer. Charles Robinson, Lil Nate, he's involved. There's so much ridiculousness going on in this match. You just owe it to yourself to have the best laugh of your life watching a wrestling
match. So Bash at the Beach 2000?
Yes. You will not regret all this right. decision.
I got two things to watch this weekend.
And that's my number one.
Alright. Well, my number one's already been mentioned by somebody here already. Brawl for All. I fucking hated that. What a clusterfuck. What a way to ruin careers. And the Butterbean Bart Gunn match was fucking stupid as all hell. So my number one was Steve's number four. I hated Brawl for All.
But in all fairness, that was the one match we rewatched in that whole WrestleMania.
It was because it was so hilariously stupid.
And it was short as hell. I remember being in Eric's basement, and we kept rewinding it and cracking up time and time again. Like, it was so fucking funny.
Yeah, because back then we were like, and it's just for stupidity's sake. It was so terrible. But it was terrible. I mean, oh.
Because God. Of that match, I found a magazine that had a centerfold of Butterbean, and it was the back of his bald head, and I cut it out. It's still in one of my yearbooks from high school. I still have a Butterbean one in tribute of how amazing that match was.
Yeah. Oh, my God. All right. So there you go, folks. I hope that was fun treat for you. The top five best gimmick matches in wrestling. I don't want to keep on saying WWE. And the top five worst gimmick matches in wrestling. Hope you enjoyed that. We are now going to kick things to Carrie as she celebrates our 100th podcast. So, Carrie, take it away since you're not here.
Hi, all of you Are You Not Kentertained listeners out there. That's right. It's me and Carrie, your favorite podcast host. I'm taking a break from my wrestling education excursion to wish Are You Not Kentertained a happy 100th episode. And to tell all of you listeners out that I miss all of you, and I'll be back very, very soon. And with that, I must get back to my studies now. Bye, everyone.
Thank you, Carrie. That was highly interesting. All right.
So interesting. My God, I did not know about that.
I didn't know about it either. I'm shocked, and I'm glad we got it. So that was Carrie's 100th special. All right.
100th edition.
100th edition, yes. All right, so we're back here with us guys now. We're going to finish things off. We're going to talk about SmackDown, and we're not going to talk too much about SmackDown because SmackDown was pretty awful. But we do have a few things we want to talk about. So let's start with the women. Ruby Riott is going through those friends of Charlotte like butter quickly. Kent, what's your take on this?
So Walking Dead came back Sunday, and they killed off Carl, and they killed off Gavin. So Gavin got no shine despite being a pretty good character. It was all about Carl, and we figured out the old man Rick mystery, which was just Carl's vision of what he hoped would happen. And then there was that little shocking twist at the end where part of the vision was Negan working hand in hand and picking tomatoes and working with Rick. So yeah, that was pretty interesting shit right there.
If you read the comic book, you know they work together eventually. Well, not they work together, but
yeah, they
do work together. They're
in the comic book.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's right. They do.
Rick,
yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Rick and Negan are stuck in that house.
That's right. Yep.
And now they've moved on to the whole New World Order.
I have not started that yet. I'm waiting for it to get a little bit into it.
I haven't either. I'm up to that issue, and there's only two issues of it. It's a six-part issue, so I'm kind of waiting until about at least the fourth
part. Yeah, I was going to wait till the fourth because I can read them, and then I'm like, okay, now it won't be such an anticipation. Yeah, it's kind of what I'm doing, too.
Yeah, so anyways, I don't know really what they're going to do because Carl was such a huge part of what's coming up next, which is the Whisperer War.
Yep.
The whole Whisperer War doesn't even happen. Like, it happens because Carl's enamored with Alpha, the leader's daughter.
Daughter.
Yeah.
So, I don't understand exactly how they're going to pull the...
Maybe it'll be Rick who's interested in Alpha's daughter.
No, because Michonne...
Michonne will stab him a million times, probably. So, I was thinking possibly Enid, but she's not a big enough character to warrant that big of a storyline. So, I really don't know. There's no more teenage boys. They've killed them all off. So there's left the gay guys and Daryl.
They'll have a new one show up somehow. Yeah.
It'll be his name will actually be Coral.
That'd be fantastic. And that's why I thought about SmackDown Women this week. Oh, and please do something with Becky Lynch, like bring her to Raw, turn her heel, do something useful, please.
Alright. Yeah, Steve, do you even care about what happened with the women?
No.
Me either.
None of us
I don't think anyone does. You're right. Until Becky stopped being totally underutilized, I don't care about SmackDown women right now. Just.
No. Because Natalya's not getting used. Carmella's not. And Lana's not. They're all taking a back seat for this terrible storyline.
Yeah.
When does the briefcase expire?
When next Money in the Bank happens, right?
Yep.
I was kind of worried that Cena would try to take that from Carmella. He'd be like, I'm cashing in. Well, WrestleMania.
Well, speaking of Cena. Good segue,
Steve.
I got
that transition.
Good segue. Speaking of Cena, he did a lot this week. He had the Elimination Chamber match. Did not put in a really good showing, honestly, in this Elimination Chamber match. Went to Raw. Gave us a I'm no quitter speech. And then went to SmackDown, basically...
Taker. Let's not forget that was kind of like the big thing.
Yes, he did mention Taker.
It was not going to happen.
It was not going to happen. Although, I'm pretty sure it is. They're still saying he's training hard, so...
They're also saying that there's somebody else who's possibly signing that...
Oh, yeah, Booyaka.
Which, so you're telling me... We could have Cena versus Taker, or we could have Cena versus Rey.
Cena to 205 makes so much sense now.
It does. Oh, my God. So after SmackDown, he loses. He goes to 205, and he's like, damn it, give me your belt. And they're like...
He loses that fast lane. He's like, damn it, I can't get a WrestleMania match there. So his next one is go to the Vox House button 205 Live.
Yeah.
So what sense did it make for him to get added to this match rather than have a one-on-one with Shinsuke to kill time and give Shinsuke... a story.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand why he was added to the six-pack and not just have a singles with Shinsuke, which could have been gold.
Yeah.
They had a really good match, what was it, about 2-3 months ago?
Mm-hmm.
I believe Shinsuke almost broke Cena's neck that match.
He was clumsy as a fucker there, so maybe that's why Cena doesn't want none.
Maybe. I don't know. It made so much sense.
People. I don't know.
That's true. He can't hate Asian people. He needs them. It's his demographic now.
He just hates former Bullet Club members.
There you go.
He's buried every single one that he's come in contact with so far.
True.
AJ, Finn, Shinsuke, Gallows, Anderson. He's buried all of them at various
points. Did he bury Shinsuke? Because I thought Shinsuke won.
Russ, has Shinsuke done anything in the past 2 months?
No.
Other than win the Royal Rumble? No.
He had a bad promo on live TV.
Yes.
As did Asuka, so...
They can't barely speak the language, I'm sorry.
It happens.
Yeah.
We know that, but apparently WWE doesn't.
Here's what I have with it. Shinsuke's doing nothing. He's practically wasting away. And this is his time to be shiny.
In Margaritaville?
Yes.
Well, maybe he's saving himself for WrestleMania when AJ Styles is all tired from wrestling every single week and day.
And every single person on the friggin' roster in one match.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, it's like all on one. Thing.
It made
like
no sense to me.
Page of WWE.
Yeah, but it made no sense to me. John Cena should have gone out there and challenged Shinsuke. That would have made so much more sense. It would have been more fun. And now he's just added to a six pack, or made into a fatal five way into a six pack challenge.
Which did we just have a six way match which Cena was involved in for the championship?
Except it was seven, but that's okay.
It was seven, but yeah.
You know what? I don't count Seth Rollins. He's a nobody.
But it's just so, oh god, it was just so bad how they did this. SmackDown is like a goddamn train wreck right now. And I can't look away.
But I love what they're doing with Corbin and Ziggler, and even to a lesser extent, Zayn and Owens when they're involved with everything else. I don't mind that, but everything else surrounding that, it really seems horrible right now.
Yeah.
I don't even know what's going on with the U.S. title anymore.
Oh, they didn't have time for them, so they put them on a five-second like video, basically, and Rude was talking about how...
Wait, when they did a video, did the words come up on the screen?
Right, I don't now? Remember, because I try not to watch any videos now, because I don't want to see the fucking words. So.
Oh, speaking of which, Russ?
Yeah.
I gotta tell you something later.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, it was really stupid. I mean, yeah, fine, add Cena to that match, but I thought they missed a huge opportunity here. And it's a shame.
For fame. Yeah.
Yes. All right, one more thing we want to talk about was SmackDown, which was the tag teams, right?
All right, I'll just be honest. I just want to say that I really wanted to see Harper and Rowan use the fucking sledgehammers. That's the only thing I really wanted to say. That's all I wanted to say because I am so sick of New Day and Usos. Blah, 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 blah. We're Samoan. We're black. Blah, 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 blah.
I liked...
And then Harper and Rowan come out with hammers. That's all I need is hammer time.
I liked the promo, especially from the Usos.
Because they missed out on all the WrestleManias. Yeah. It was shocking to see how many Manias they were fucking
Me too.
With.
I didn't know that either. So yeah, they deserve a Ray
I
Mania.
Believe the number is all of them?
Yes, all of them. All of the Manias. So this will be their first chance. But I do like how they keep on having these guys talk about all these other teams, not mention, well, they do mention them. But then the Bludgeon Brothers come out at the end. It's ominous. They're kind of leading up to it, right?
I was wondering if they were going to get added to a triple threat at Fastlane, but
it could
I
be WrestleMania.
Just going to get the rights to the number one contendership at Mania, maybe instead.
Yeah, I don't know. Not that they deserve it because all they do is fight scrubs, but.
Oh, Russ, are you telling me that you don't want no scrubs?
Yes, a scrub is a guy that can't get no loving from me.
Is he hanging out on the passenger side of his best friend's ride?
Yes.
Fair enough.
Good stuff.
All right, let's wrap this
up. All right, let's wrap this bad boy up. All right, so that was SmackDown. Let's talk our most favorite segment of all times. I'm not finished with you yet. This is where we talk about what we are looking forward to in the coming week for wrestling. So let's start with Kent. Kent, what aren't you finished with, sir?
If I get any more Kevin Owens comments about Baron Corbin's hairline, we all win. So that was hilarious. Did anybody else hear that this week?
Yes.
Oh my god, I rewound it. It was the only thing I rewound this whole week. I was like, ha, that's funny. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
Steve.
Maybe Cena trying to make weight for 205 Live. Other than that, not a hell of a lot.
I am looking forward to more Kurt Angle and Stephanie McMahon stupidity and humorousness to get us through this Ronda Rousey garbage heap that we will have to go through to at least the end of WrestleMania. I hope Kurt and Stephanie can save this.
Is this officially the match we're most dreading at WrestleMania now?
Yeah. I could care less.
Yeah.
I couldn't care less.
Wrestle, Ronda can't wrestle. Kurt kind of can, and Triple H looks thinner than he has in years past.
Well, he stopped doing steroids.
He did a month still, though, so.
Yes.
Yep. Start popping some pills.
He does. He's got time. Although we're making fun of a man who probably works out five times longer than all of us combined.
Russ, I could work.
In like one day.
Yeah, in one day.
Times he does it in one day.
So, all right. Let's end number 100. But before we do that, Kent, anything going on special that we want to talk about that's heading up? I know we hit 100, so that's the big one. What else is coming up? Anything?
Yeah, so like February was supposed to be my month of chick flicks, and I didn't do a single one. So I had a logo almost completed today. So March is going to be my chick flick month.
So you made it longer.
There's a lot of actual horror movie things coming up. On any day that ends with a zero in the month of March, there will be a horror blog.
Mm-hmm.
So we're doing The Mist in a movie called Dead End, starring Lynn Shay. We're doing the Cloverfield franchise, I believe. Lights Out and Snow White, A Tale of Terror. And then on April 1st, we're going to do April Fool's Day, a classic from like 1986, and a low-budget movie called Los Inocentes, which is Bloody April Fools. A film so bad that when I wrote a glowing review, they actually used a quote from me to advertise for their movie. So
how long ago was this?
About 2 years ago.
Oh. Wow, it's that bad that they had to go, hey, look, someone liked it.
Right, like, they were shocked. Like, they like, liked it. They shared it on Twitter. They, like, used a quote. I was like, wow, I didn't think the movie was really that bad. It was just a good slasher flick, but it got no love.
Hmm. And you're a huge fan of horror, so, I mean, I would take your word for it.
You know, as long as you don't mind a movie in Spanish, that's the big hold up for a lot of people.
Hey, I watched whatever that shitty movie that we both hate, Silo? Silo, yes.
120 Days of Sodom?
Yeah, it is.
I mean, that's right there with old Necromantic.
Necromantic 2.
So, oh, and I'll probably post like the past like 6 weeks of wrestling blogs that I haven't posted.
Excellent,
plus
yes.
Podcast number 99 and this one, so getting caught up. And I believe me and Chris Theophilus are going to be working on a horror blog, or horror podcast, at least. I think we're going to try doing a weekly one. It may... Or
hey, we'll get to 200 real quick then.
Huh?
We'll get to 200 real quick.
I don't know if we're on standard. Are you not entertained? I'm not sure about that. I think
he's branching out. He's spreading out.
He's spreading his wings, yes.
And then he's also supposed to be doing his own book club of the month, like a book review of the month. So I'll be having him and Eric writing independently for me, and I will be reaping all the rewards of zero hits.
All this work.
All that cash coming in.
All that work. Nobody pays attention.
Millions of dollars.
I'm glad we can laugh about it.
Yeah, poverty's funny.
Yeah, it is hilarious. All right, let's finish this off with a little Guess the Wrestler. All right, so Guess the Wrestler works like this. One of us this week, myself, chooses a wrestler. Could be from today, yesterday, tomorrow. Well, it can't really be tomorrow. But we choose that wrestler, and the others have to ask yes or no type questions to get to the choice of who it is. So I do have my wrestler, but I don't have their wiki ups to be able to verify everything. So give me 1 second and I will have it.
Rush, you can at least tell us if they're male or female, and if they're current or old.
I can definitely do that. So it is a male and definitely old.
So it's not Judy Bagwell. So last week, Steve, I completely fucked Russ over with the Brooklyn Brawler.
He did. Nice. Got me.
Awesome.
Okay, so I'm glad that, you know, hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes into the podcast, and Russ didn't have the wiki up.
I'm good. I'm ready. Sorry.
Okay, Steve, do you want to ask first?
Was this person a champion? Or should I ask, whatever.
Well, if you want to be...
What
they
champion?
Have definitely
highest
been
level
a champion.
Title, whatever.
Highest level title? All right, now we're talking. Let's see. Wow, not as big as I had thought. Looks like the highest would be the Intercontinental Championship. One time.
What promotion were they predominantly known for, or is this kind of like a mix and match between like WWF and WCW?
There's Some mix and match, but I would say we would know them from WWE.
Okay. They're saying WWE as if you're not talking about WWF.
No, I'm talking about WWF and very slightly WWE. Okay. If that helps you.
So it's got to be possibly kind late of 80s, new. But definitely early 90s, mid 90s.
Yeah.
I wonder if Russ was smart enough to take my suggestion last week.
No.
Oh. Damn it. So it's not Marty Jannetty.
No.
He was IC champion.
I know. One time. And I suggested last week, Russ, you should use Marty Jannetty because I'll forget about it by then.
Yeah, but I didn't think he would. So I was like, nah.
All right, Steve, what you got?
I don't know. Did this person have a manager or valet or anything?
I want to say yes, but I don't think... Yes, several.
Several, okay. So I think it's going to be safe to say that this person was a heel. If you had to say this person's biggest time in the sun, would you say the Hogan era, the in between era of Hogan era to Attitude era, or the Attitude era?
Going into the Attitude era.
Okay, so definitely like mid-90s. There wasn't that many managers at the time, though.
One of them, actually, I don't know why they call him a manager. We talk about it. I'm curious about this one. Really weird. But the rest of them you would know. You would know the managers.
I'm sure.
Okay.
I don't can't think of a question. That would be a good one.
There is one question that will help you answer this 100%. Two, actually, but you got to figure them out.
It's not Farouk.
I'm thinking maybe Sunny managed them because she had a lot of people she managed.
Yeah, but Farouk also won the WCW World Championship, so that would have been the highest.
It's
so
true. It's not him. Yeah.
Did D'Lo ever hold IC?
European, I know he had.
Yeah, with chest protector.
I don't think he had IC.
I don't know. I'm starting to think that... I don't know. I think I'm going to ask Russ about skin color. Because he said that there's one question that will give it away. So that's possibly one of those things. But I don't know. Mid-90s, there was not many black guys aside from the fucking Nation of Domination. And Ahmed. And Ahmed's a good guy with no... managers. I got nothing for you, Steve. What you got?
Is he Canadian?
Yes. Let me make sure he's definitely Canadian. Hold on.
So it's not what I thought it was. If you're not sure, I was thinking maybe Owen. But if you're not sure he's Canadian, it's not Owen.
Well,
if he's thinking of it's the Anvil is never Intercontinental, though. Was Pillman?
No, he's not Canadian. I am sorry. But that should be a big hint right there that I kind of.
All right. Was he a part of the Hart family at any point?
Yes.
Okay, so that doesn't that have to be Pillman?
Pillman never had a belt, though, did he? Wasn't he injured a lot? I think he was injured most of his career. WWE.
I guess there's an easy way to say, did he ever pull a gun?
No. No. No.
Did Stone Cold invade his house?
No.
He's not Canadian.
But he was a member of the Hart family.
I'm thinking Bulldog. If he counts tag teams lower than IC, I don't know.
I would.
Bulldog was IC champion, right?
Yeah.
And you'd think he had the heavyweight title, but I don't think he has.
He never did.
But he's definitely British, so like you wouldn't even think he's Canadian.
Except if you thought he was part of the Hart family and you're assuming they're all from Canada.
So if you're wrestling dumbass, you would think
I didn't even like I knew his name, but I just like didn't even think about that. I go
British Bulldog.
Is the British Bulldog Canadian? I don't know how to look this shit up.
I didn't even think about it at first. I was like, oh yeah, his name's British. I'm a fucking idiot.
Russ, did he have a wife named Diana?
He did have a wife named Diana, yes. And one of his managers. You wanna know what the shocking manager was? Ozzy Osbourne.
What?
That's what they called it, one of his managers.
Must have been WrestleMania, oh, one of them.
At WrestleMania, when they were the British Bulldogs, it was him and Dynamite, and I think they also had the Bulldog Matilda at the time.
Yes.
All right, so we've asked our 7 questions, we figured it out, and victory to Steve.
Victory to Steve.
Thank
for
God,
out.
This is a dumbass.
Yeah.
I think he's Canadian, but you know what?
Well, no, but I just went, okay, he's part of the Hart family, so I just thought maybe they called him the British Bulldog because they just wanted, you know, like, they just wanted a name. Maybe he was, like, had connections in England. I didn't know. I didn't think about it. Then I go, wait a minute. He obviously has the name British.
Did you hear him talk?
No, I barely know who he is.
That, like, that would have given that answer away.
Okay. I barely know who he is.
Does that mean he has citizenship in Canada? So he kind of is Canadian?
Yeah, I think he has, but he was born in England, so technically
yes, he
is.
Definitely was, yes. Yeah.
Was Neidhart Canadian or was he American? I've always wondered that.
I want to say American, but I don't know.
Well, you can look it up.
Yeah.
I don't want to.
Yeah, I know. No one does. All right, guys. Well, why don't we call it here? Because we've had a long episode for 100 here, and it's time to get going. So, for Steve, Kent, and Carrie, I am signing us off for this 100th episode. We hope you were entertained, everybody. We will see you next week in not such a exciting 101.
Good Fastlane preview!
Fastlane preview, yay! Because SmackDown's been great.
By the way.
All right, good night, everybody.